much about.
You gotta put it in perspective. I'm gonna bite my pillow, is what I'm gonna do.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
The Fantastic Prize is a pair of tickets to the special screening of Together, the Hendrix Motorsports Story.
Yes, easy for you to say.
Not really. It's on October 7th at the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood, and a pair of tickets to the Pepsi 500 at the Auto Club Speedway on Sunday, October 11th.
You want some water or something?
I'm dying for water. I asked Dave, can you get me some water in my mouth?
You're eating a granola bar.
Water right there.
There you go. There's a little water for you.
I'm not going to lie. I feel like running out the gate and getting those six-pack of Budweiser.
You're carrying quite a load, aren't you?
How do you mean, sir?
You've had a little too much to drink.
No, sir, I have not. I may have had one or two, but I know my capacity.
I speak drunk. And now.
Are you drunk?
I was last night, and also now.
Our feature presentation.
Both times are covered.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be this afternoon.
Right, but not right whatever now. You're thinking of. Yeah. Right.
Whatever that was. Morning, everybody. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31.
I think he might be drunk, Lisa, come to think of it.
Well, let's hear a few more words.
I sound drunk all the time.
What is that about, by the way?
I don't know. I had somebody come up to me at our concert and say, you really do sound drunk all the time. And I said, I know, and I don't drink all that often. Mm-hmm. But I might as well, because if I sound that way anyway.
And maybe it would have the opposite effect.
Yeah.
Maybe
that would have the opposite
slug
effect.
Back one or two, uh-huh. All of a sudden, you sound sober. Yeah. Sometimes it works
like
that way.
Like some people who get knocked in the head, and then all of a sudden, all of their brain trauma
yeah,
is gone.
Yeah, they can speak French.
Yeah. I don't think that's going
to
work.
That's right. Go to the dentist and learn to speak a foreign language. All right, here's your worst nightmare, Kevin, but I think I might be intrigued and interested in this. There's a new service now called Rent a Grandma.
Oh.
See?
Look where your mind went. Wow. Right away.
Let me just ask you this, Lisa. Do you think it's not going there?
No.
All right.
Go ahead.
Rent a Grandma is the service. And, of course, Kevin hates old people, which is why I bring this up. In Kevin's world, anyone who's 6 months older than he is,
yes,
whatever age he is at that time, should be put to death.
His policy. Let me just say my defense, and I don't say this often, but I live in old people central. Mm-hmm. So where I live and where I drive, 95% of the cars are driven by old people who can't see, too short to look over the wheel, light turns green, means nothing to them, and it drives me out of my mind. I go to the Long's Drugs there, it's 95, it's where all old people go to die, or rest, you know, waste time until they die. So I live in that environment all the time, and it just makes me crazy.
So when you become one of those old people in about 5 years, are you going to be cool with the young people hating you?
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
Exactly. Introducing Rent-A-Grandma Domestic Agency. Always trust your grandma. Rent-A-Grandma is your one-stop agency for all your quality domestic staffing needs. Our grandmas are carefully screened mature, age 50-plus women, who are only the most professional, experienced staff and meet the standards you will demand for your own grandma. Rent-A-Grandma sets a standard unequaled in the industry. Our agency carefully screens and background checks each applicant. So
what am I renting them for?
Well, I know what I'd like to be renting them for, but
yeah,
it doesn't say that that's available here.
I told you, Lisa.
Let's see. Rent-A-Grandmas are carefully screened, English speaking. Most have decades of experience in child care and providing household services. Loyal and committed. Why hire a teenage nanny when you can have a grandma? Well, I can think of...
What?
let me see. Nannies, household maintenance staff. Well, wouldn't you feel kind of bad to have like a 60-year-old woman over your house and make her do your dishes and dust?
I need a ditch dug in the back, and then if you could fix the fence.
Yes. I mean, you don't want to make an old woman do that. It would just be sad. You would be thinking, why are you having to work cleaning my house if you're 70, right?
Right.
Specialized services, chef, personal assistant, organizing, party help, elderly care. Our grandmas also love pets. Pet sitting, pet care services available. Nationwide rollout coming soon. It's Rent a Grandma.
Now, here's my thing. Everything that you mentioned, from pet sitting to dishes to cleaning, whatever, mm-hmm. there are younger people who do all of that. So right. Why would you want an older woman?
Well, I think the angle here is twofold. One is the people are not as flighty, the grandmas that you hire. I think they're trying to convince you that these people are more reliable, that they have a great deal of experience. For instance, especially with childcare, would you rather have somebody who's raised a bunch of kids, or would you rather have some teenager who's never even had one looking after your kid? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see that.
And she'll bake cookies.
And she'll bake cookies.
Yeah, but it'll take her 4 days to make cookies.
And they also say our grandmas don't text or tweet while they're watching your kids. So they're saying this is the focus of why they're there, rather than some young person who really just can't wait to get out of there and be back with his friends. Grandma's got no place to go. Grandma, like you said, is this close to death anyway.
Right.
So she's not going to be off doing other stuff instead of what she's
here's
tired
the downside. If you get a grandma instead of a teenager. She could also die while watching your kids.
That's true.
Yes. Literally pass away. And most teens aren't going to.
Now, I hope that if grandma dies on the job, that day is free, right? I mean,
you don't have to
just
for
the inconvenience, she shouldn't have to pay, even if she's already worked several hours before she keels.
Sure.
Yeah.
This agency should give you that day free if she dies on watch.
Sure.
So. I agree.
But I mean, the pictures on the site on rentagrandma.com, they do look like they're in their 70s. Yeah, and it just would seem a little sad to me to be hiring someone that old to work.
Yeah, I agree.
But maybe they need to work. Maybe that's this is...
I know, but I don't want to see that.
Too bad for them. Yeah, just hide them away.
Too bad.
Yeah, maybe they need a little money for their drugs,
I want them to find a job somewhere else where I don't see them.
I could hire an old person like that to just stand outside of 7-Eleven and beg. That's your job for the day. Just stand over there and beg. Just give me a little extra cash.
See, Kevin's already thinking how he could screw with the Rent-A-Grandma.
Well,
he could have them over and look for the dumbest things he can waste their time with.
How dare you? That's not dumb. I love it.
What's the name of that site where you can rent a grandma? Can you send me the link, please?
That's what we're going to get. That's why Bean says that, because maybe if you typed in rent a grandma into Google,
it would be the first thing that came up.
Pop right up. By the way, and while we're mentioning that, I know we're not on this topic, but if you want to find a song, and I get frustrated by emailing people this, if you could get 4 or 5 words of lyrics that you know are accurate, put them in quotes, and that tells Google that you want to keep them all together, and then you write lyrics after it, 99% of the time you can find what song it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really, really, really simple, and I answer that one a lot, too. Hey, what's the song where they say blah, 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 blah? And I go, you could find that pretty simply.
The answer is Google.com. That's what the answer to the name of that song is. And, of course, there are also some excellent apps for your smartphone where all you have to do is hold the phone up to the radio.
Right.
And it'll come back in 20 seconds and tell you what the title and artist is, got a link to watch the video, to see the lyrics, to buy the song. I mean, it's unbelievable, the technology that exists right now.
Shazam, I think, is one of them. Or
Shazam is one. I use SoundHound, but they're both very good. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty simple. That's an easy thing. And if I get one more email, and then we'll move on, that says, what's that song that goes anything, anything? Which, by the way, we've been playing for 30 years. So I write back and I go, anything, anything. If I'm searching for that.
As it turns out.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I want to go to there.
All right. We have comedian Eddie Ift on the program today.
Yeah.
He's great.
Very excited about that. We have the guy from Sci-Fi who does Hollywood Treasures. This is the guy who sells Hollywood memorabilia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid we're going to have to keep Ralph as far from the studio as possible because he's way too excited about this. And maybe keep me away from the studio, too, because I'm not excited enough about this.
Well, does he have anything cool this time around?
Does it matter?
Yeah. I mean, there's some stuff. I mean, look. If you could own R2-D2, you'd be interested.
Nope.
There are some things that are awesome enough that you want to have them. Usually, they're not selling that. Usually, they're selling, here's the hat that Christian Bale wore in the Newsies. You know, usually, that's the kind of stuff that's up for sale. But who knows? Maybe he's got great stuff this time.
If I'm thinking about Star Wars, for example, I want Yoda or nothing. I've had very limited use for these people. Apparently, they're having another auction, and they're auctioning out people's underwear or whatever.
Well, let's hear what they have to say. It could be cool.
Yeah, it could be cool. I don't even talk about that. The call-in topic today, I think you'll find fascinating. But I will admit that yesterday in the meeting after the show, I got yelled at a lot.
You did. And by the way,
you were surprised, weren't you?
I was.
I'm looking forward to you laying it out for the listeners because I think I agree with you, by the way. I think I'm on your side on this.
Really?
Which I think puts you and me over here in the corner.
Yeah, that's a place most people don't want to go. Mm-mm. If I go to the corner, most people go, you enjoy that.
I think I might be with you on this.
All right. Justin Bieber's going crazy. I don't know if you've been following, but he's got these crazy jewelry and necklace of Stewie Griffin and
he's got too goddamn tattoos. Much money. That's what's going on.
He's got tattoos, and there's like seven stories about him that are super annoying. So we'll talk about that.
He's going to be dead by 20 the way he's going.
Who is Uncle Junebug? We need your help today to figure that out. Uncle Junebug, guy that goes on stage with Snoop. I think he's his actual uncle, but we'll give you some more information in the next hour. And we have a brand new internet roundup for you as well. So that's coming up. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Hey, party people. Welcome to Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Hey, it's Ralph Garman.
Dr. Drew Pinsky and the gang over at Celebrity Rehab have announced who they'll be fixing this season.
Sweet.
We've got the lineup.
Is it Kevin?
I wish.
How dare you?
How dare you? Why does people say I'm drinking? What's up? You sound like I had a stroke or something this morning. What's going on, Kev? Seriously.
Honestly, I don't know.
Stop it.
I should
stop it.
How do I stop it?
I don't know. Figure out a way. You're right. A grown man.
Not really.
Michael Lohan, Lindsay's dad, is amongst the folks who are checking in to Dr. Drew Pinsky's celebrity rehab facility.
Let's take a vote.
Does he have a problem?
Yeah, I mean, let's take a vote.
He's got a lot of problems, but I don't think addiction is one of them.
So everyone agrees he's just there to be on TV?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Why does Drew allow that? Although Drew, I guess, says he doesn't have anything to do with who they select.
Right. Why would Drew have anything to do with people on his show? I can't imagine. Sean Young, actress.
Oh, crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah. Love crazy.
Dwight Gooden, legendary baseball player who was known for a serious cocaine habit back in the day, and apparently he still enjoys the devil's dandruff from time to time. Amy Fisher, the Long Island Lolita. She shot that broad in the face. Remember when she was sleeping with Joey Buttafuoco?
Sure.
Bai Ling.
Into porn, remember?
Bai Ling.
Hey! Are you ready for this, Hollywood?
Crazy. Bai Ling.
Another publicity whore.
Sugar from Survivor. Jessica Sugar Kuiper.
I'm not familiar with her.
It's not a watch that season.
She was on a couple seasons ago. Was known for being, she's hot, blonde, hot, kind of a party girl.
All right.
Was known for being one of the villains. In fact, she came back for the big Heroes and Villains All-Star season of Survivor. So she's back. Jeremy Jackson, from Baywatch fame, played Brody, I guess his name was, Hasselhoff's kid on that show.
This is where we get into the non-celebrities?
You'd know him if you saw him. Well, okay. He was big. He was, you know, Baywatch was a big show. He was on for a long time when he was a kid. Then he grew up, former actor, child star, and then had a serious drug problem.
But this is what we've learned from Celebrity Rehab. People you've never heard of can still make the best television on that show.
Yeah.
And former Guns N' Roses drummer Steven Adler coming back for a repeat performance. Yeah.
He's most likely to die of that group, I think.
Well, you never know.
That's Bean, man. Nothing but positive thinking.
Can still hold out for Bai Ling.
Well, come on.
See what happens.
Yeah, that would be the happiest case scenario, sure.
Lady Gaga's ex-boyfriend is in a world of hurt. Matthew Dada Williams is his name. She dumped him, Gaga did, after he stopped inspiring her, she said.
Wait, his nickname or middle name is Dada?
That's his nickname, Dada.
Okay.
D-A-D-A.
So is Dada and Gaga? That's what's the couple?
That was the couple.
Yeah.
She dumped him after he stopped inspiring her, friends say.
You're no longer my muse.
Here's the problem. He left his girlfriend and their infant son in order to be with Lady Gaga.
Oh.
Now he's got no job, no future, no money, living in a small rental home. Never able to get back together with his girlfriend and mother of his child. And Gaga dumped him, so now he's sort of out there struggling. That's a sad story, right?
And every time he turns on the TV, he sees a multi-millionaire superstar.
Ed Westwick's a dick, right? The British guy from Gossip Girl? He's a dick. He's a dick.
I don't know. I didn't get that feeling either way from him.
Yeah, dick.
All right.
Big dick.
All right.
He was in New York partying over the weekend. apparently was quite rude to a female fan at the bar. Said some choice things to her, turned and started sucking down shots with a few friends, and then insisted the bar shut off all the music.
What?
Turned the music off in the bar, which irritated bar patrons to no end. He started yelling some choice profanities at a group of gentlemen. One of those gentlemen called him outside to have a little chat.
All right.
Apparently there was a big shoving match, but no punches were thrown because Ed Westwick's a dick.
Is that the takeaway on this story?
Yes. His representatives maintained there was no drama that night. People at the bar have another story.
Yeah. Odd that there would just be drama made up out of nothing.
Yeah. And Glenn Beck has announced yesterday that he's starting his own network, GBTV. It'll be online and it will consist of a two-hour daily show that Glenn will be hosting, but also a wide range of original and licensed information and entertainment programming. All this can be yours on the internet for the low, low price of just $5.95 a month.
If you listen to Glenn Beck, f*** you.
Well, there's that. $5.95 a month to see Glenn Beck in all his glory.
That's pretty inexpensive, but I'm a little bit surprised that he's not on showing up on another television channel.
Did he get fired? Did I miss that?
Yeah, because his ratings started to go in the dumper, and so he was more trouble than he was worth.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You can be crazy and a pain in the ass as long as your ratings are good. And then once they start to slip, then people don't want to really deal with you anymore. That's what happened with him over at Fox. Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian Jerry Stiller, very, very funny man, who is the father of comedian Ben Stiller. But Jerry's been an actor and a comedian for a long time in his own right. 84 years old today. Joan Rivers, speaking of old comedians, she's 78.
Comedian.
Yeah. In quotes. Nick Rhodes of Dran Dran is 49 years old today. Actress Juliana Margulies, who is so very good on The Good Wife, she is 44 years old. Kanye West celebrates his 34th birthday today. And singer Nancy Sinatra, daughter of the legendary Frank, is 71. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You get a contact high just from listening to that song?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Yeah. It's world famous K-Rock at 7 minutes after six.
Coming up next there on the Kevin and Bean Show, find out while everybody in the office was screaming at Kevin. I mean, it was scary there for a minute. It was about to turn into mob violence, I got to be honest.
I could have taken all of you at once, by the way.
So we will discuss, bring you up to speed with that coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how about a brand new internet roundup?
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
These, of course, are our favorite videos. We put them up at kevinandbean.com. You can go there, and they're just pretty much one right after another. You can listen and watch all of them. Some of them don't have good audio, so we don't play them, but we can talk about funny golf ruling, where they're talking about how far you can move the golf ball. Golf is one of those sports that's super, super, super picky.
Yes.
About how far you can move the ball away from a tree, or can you even touch it, or that kind of stuff. So you don't expect the ending that happens in that one, and it's fantastic. There's a dude that gets, it's called My Social Tattoo, and he gets all of his friends from Facebook tattooed on his arm.
Is that a guy? I thought that was a girl.
Girl, who knows? I was looking at the arm.
Freak.
I was looking at the arm and thinking, what if you get more friends? And really, that doesn't seem like it's going to be that hard to get that many friends where you would go, okay, I'm out of body.
Yeah.
He or she took the little photo from the Facebook page, right. The little avatar for each person, and had that tattooed on his or her arm. I mean, it's unbelievable. It looks like the person is tiled with their friends. And what happens if you fall out of touch with somebody? You're not friends with them anymore.
Unfriending somebody could be really difficult.
That is
very
true.
Painful.
Yeah. The fire slam dunk fail is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I didn't even know how it was supposed to work or why, but it involves a bunch of drunk guys and a giant trash can and what looks like gasoline and a match.
Oh, boy.
And a basket.
What could go wrong with that?
I don't know. They light it on fire. The guy comes out. He's on fire. I don't understand.
Man.
I don't even understand how it was supposed to go. But it's fantastic. You have to watch that. The worst couple in the world you have to watch. The best wedding video ever. There are some that do have good audio. One of them is the greatest marriage proposal ever. Now, this guy set the bar a little high because he goes to a movie and he has convinced the movie theater to show his little wedding proposal movie before the actual movie. And so you can watch her sitting in the theater as that big video comes up on the screen.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's over the top.
There comes a time when every father lets his little girl go.
I just want you to know that I love her too, and I am by no means trying to steal her away from you.
So that happens, and my whole thought the entire time was, if you start there, where do you go?
You go right to disappointing your wife for the rest of her life.
I mean, really, what do you get her for birthday, Valentine's? I mean, that's too much.
Yeah.
And she, they put a camera on the soon-to-be fiancé, so you see her watching the trailer. She thinks it's just a trailer for another movie, and then you can see her little brain working. She's like, well, that sounds like my fiancé. Wait a minute, that's my dad! And the next thing she knows, she realizes, oh my god, this is a proposal. And then the guy who made the video who wants to propose to her comes in from the back of the theater and walks up and gives her the ring and the whole thing, and the whole place applauds. I mean, it's pretty impressive. A great deal of work went into that proposal.
It's impressive. It's also, there's something way annoying about it. You know what I mean?
Do you think they stayed for the movie?
That's a good question, Lisa.
I hadn't thought about that. That's a good question. Bradley Cooper is fine. He's good enough, all right? He's a good-looking guy.
He's
funny.
Awesome.
I know. He's funny. He's a great actor. He's in all these fantastic movies. Now there's an interview with him, and he's talking to a reporter in France, and he is fluent in French. As well.
Really?
Yeah, and this is like, okay, hey, tone it down a bit, dude. You don't have to be good at everything.
On était en train de faire du film à Las Vegas avec un homme chinois qui jetait une voiture.
Yeah, and it's not a guy who's like
trying. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's not trying to figure out or remember. He's just talking as easily as he does in English.
Wow.
He's over there promoting The Hangover 2 on a French television show, but what they don't show you is that he probably then went on to Madrid and did the same thing in Spanish, and then he went to, you know, Germany and did the same thing in German. I mean, what can't the dude do?
All right, you're better than us. Take
we get it.
The 2011 New York Rat Convention. There's a convention like the dog show, like the Westminster Dog Show, for rats.
People who have rats as pets, yeah.
Yep. And they make little outfits for them, the whole thing. It's a scary group.
Making clothes for chihuahuas or any dogs is not much different than making outfits for a rat or a cat or whatever else.
Yeah.
I have at two different points in my life have run into this problem where at one point I had a rat for a pet, but at another point I had a boa constrictor for a pet that I used to feed rats to. So there's a very thin line between pets or food.
There is. You usually fall way below any of that. But
yeah, well, yeah. It was. It is odd how some rats get dressed up in little outfits and taken to conventions, and other rats die in a rat trap.
Yeah, and you look at this woman and you just want to go, are you aware that what you're dealing with here are rats? Because most people are scared of rats.
Yeah. People get, and most people are scared of snakes too, but some people, for whatever reason, they just get into them as pets. Rats are fine pets. I mean, they're very affectionate and fun.
Sure.
I had one as well.
They're so much fun.
I had
you had a rat too?
Yeah, and they're really
little,
sweet.
Do you throw a little twig and they chase it and come back?
No, but it would sit and watch TV with me.
Oh, please. Where's it going to go? You guys are crazy. We should talk to people who are rat owners, what great pets they are. Kid goes through a door. We've all done this. Let's be honest. They're screwing around and throw him a ball, and he literally goes through a door and just demolishes it.
Go! Did you get that?
By the way, this is a new age, because when I used to do that, there was no "Did you get that?"
Yeah.
They weren't filming everything, right?
It's a new age where you really have to get it on camera so that you can put it up online. This is a comedian named Beardy Man. He has a song or a bit called Unshaved, but it's, I don't know, I think it's like almost an hour. That's how long it is. Most of these videos that we're giving you are just little snippets or whatever so that you can watch. But this guy is truly, I don't know that beatboxing gets it's just desserts. I mean, it really needs to get more credit. Because beatboxing is pretty impressive. And his song about eggs, you got to see. It's bizarre.
Okay. It's an entire stand-up performance, right, in this video.
But you watch it, you scratch your head, and you go, where did that come from? Who thinks of writing a song about an egg coming out of an animal? Cow or wherever they come out of.
Yeah, cows. It's from cows, Kevin.
Power Thirst 3 has a very funny commercial. Sort of based on the Red Bull Gives You Wings concept, but that's nothing compared to this.
Red Bull may give you wings, but Power Thirst gives you burns. Burns all over your body. Burns. You're the bird man.
So you can fly. It gives you birds. It's just so far over the top. It's very funny. The Alamo Drafthouse voicemail. Now, this is a woman who's at a theater, and she got thrown out for texting. And she calls back to complain and leaves a message, and it's magic. I mean, this woman is mad because they told her she can't text in a movie theater.
I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to text in your little crappy-ass theater. It was too dark in that place for me to find my seat, all right? I was using my phone as a flashlight to get to my seat. So excuse me for using my phone in USA, United States of America.
I think she tried to say my United States of America.
I'm not sure.
It came out that way.
It is funny that she called to complain. She called to ream the Alamo Draft House in Austin, Texas, a very popular theater. And they turned her complaint into a commercial, basically, for them to let everybody else know, hey, this is a safe place to come if you don't want to be in the theater with people who are texting.
That is great.
Which is great. And then you listen to the whole thing and you go, well, were you finding your seat or were you texting?
Come on.
I mean, seriously, that doesn't even make any sense. There's a little kid who learns to ride a bike. How old would you say he is, Bean? Did you see this video?
I did. I mean, he's pretty young. He's six? What, six? Yeah, I was going to say about six.
And he's an inspirational speaker now. He's doing the circuit.
If you believe in yourself, you will know how to ride a bike. If you don't, you just keep practicing. Thumbs up, everybody.
All right.
For walking.
So, I don't know why at the end he says thumbs up for rock and roll, but
look, even retarded kids can ride a bike, okay? It's not that difficult. No, don't be so proud of yourself.
This kid's cute.
He's cute, but it's not that hard to ride a bike. I'm saying everybody can do it.
Here's a dude. Not everybody can do this, and that's lose their virginity. If you're a guy, it's a little harder than it is if you're a girl. But this guy is, it's impossible to describe you what he looks like. I mean, he's hideous. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about himself and how he wants to sell and put on video and put on YouTube the first time that he has sex.
I look moderately good. I don't think I'm ugly except for the two teeth out of my mouth. And I'm a 25-year-old virgin, and I would love to lose it on camera.
Yeah.
Oh, that is just sad, cloaked in sad.
It is.
He's 25.
With a side of sad.
Yeah.
And
buried in the sad backyard. he's not just moderately ugly. He's fug.
And he's missing teeth?
Right in the front.
Oh, my God.
Now, do you have more tape, or can I tell?
You can tell.
The other part of his dream, Lisa, in addition to A, getting laid, which is very important to him, B, having it be filmed, C, having it be shown, is D, he insists on being paid for it. He would like... I think he said $25,000 or $30,000 is what he is asking for somebody to have sex with him.
Yeah.
All right, so he's not
it
even in
his right
mind.
It doesn't work that way. Yes.
You got to give him credit for trying to make money on something that he's unable to do. Breaking Dawn, I guess, is coming out soon.
Oh, no, yeah. She's not back, is she?
The trailer is online, and she's back, and her reaction.
The fat chick in England or someplace, right, who just goes berserk every time she sees anything having to do with Twilight.
It's all going to end. There's going to be no more Edward and Bella. I don't know what to do. I'm going to watch it again. And I'm going to try and be happy this time.
Yeah, she's crazy. She crazy. I think she's worse than the people show off rats. And this week in unnecessary censorship with Jimmy Kimmel. Always funny. He puts beeps where they're not supposed to be, where there are not curse words. It actually makes it sound worse than it originally was. And this is from a bunch of stuff. The Miami Heat, Shaquille O'Neal, a bunch of different news reports.
This week in unnecessary censorship.
Wiener sent a picture of his...
Shaquille O'Neal announces retirement Wednesday in a Twitter message. CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker takes a look at the legendary big man with a big...
Do I need to force this kiss? Do I need to, like, ram my down her throat?
Barack Obama has America.
And the Miami Heat got up last night.
Shaq is leaving the game. I still remember him putting that big in my when I was a rookie.
What are you going to do for us this evening?
We are going to each other.
All right. There it is. I want to see that show.
Yeah.
If you'd like to see any of these videos, you can watch them. They'll be up all day at kevinandbean.com.
Kevin and Bean.
Kevin, who do you think the most successful person in the world is that was born in 1994?
Born in 1994, Bieber.
Yeah, Justin Bieber. Justin
really?
Bieber. all over the news. So many things going on with the Biebs right now. In fact, I saw him in the they had a skybox, of course, in Texas last night. He was watching the Dallas versus Miami game last night, the NBA Finals. So Justin was there with Selena.
Which but Dallas came back and won again, by the way. So it's 2-2.
Unbelievable, right? They do not quit. And Dirk was so sick with the flu, yet he was still, he had like a 100-degree fever. He was still out there playing. It was crazy. Anyway, so he's been in the news a lot lately. We got a lot of questions for him, so we asked producer Alex to line up Justin Bieber, and I believe he joins us. Where's the music? I don't hear the music. I believe he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Justin, how are you, man?
Hey, how you guys doing, eh?
You enjoy the game last night?
Oh, how about that basketball game, eh?
Right.
Where they throw the ball in the round thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's hot.
You don't even know basketball?
That's cool, man.
I thought you were a fan. I thought you were a fan of basketball, no?
No, I just know hockey, eh? Because I'm, like, from Canada. So I know, hockey and curling. And also snow badminton.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Like our national sport, right?
Why were you at the NBA Finals last night, then?
Because, like, that's the cool place to be, so where all the cool people are hanging.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
My lady, my lovely lady, wanted to go there as well. So we all, like, put it together and made it all happen. Jimmy Jam, Spazzo, Pacow.
So you and Selena, you guys are doing it, right?
Hey, that's, like, none of your business, eh? Because
I don't really talk about
my personal life. I just want some privacy, eh? So
yeah. Okay.
That's really out of line, but oh yeah, I'm doing it.
All right, let's talk about the privacy, because I guess in the news this week, you tried to visit your hometown, you got a little bit of time off, you wanted to go back home to Ontario, and your fans are just trailing you everywhere. They're making it impossible for you to spend actual time with your family and friends.
It's so hard to go back to Stratford, eh? Because, like, I just want to spend time with Grandma and Grandpa and Jazzy and Jaxo. And all my other family members and the fans, like, I love them, but they just won't leave me alone. It's just, I'm just too popular, eh?
Who is Jazzy and Jaxo?
Oh, they're my cousins.
Cousins, I see.
You don't know, do you?
Nope. I have a lot of family members. It's hard to keep them all straight.
Sure.
You probably have a lot more now that you're famous, too, I would imagine. People you hadn't seen much before.
So I love the fans. I just want them to give me a little space. So, hey! Off my lawn, eh?
Whoa.
You're not shooting at a fan, are you, Justin?
Yeah, because they won't give me any privacy, eh? What's that all about?
I can't answer that, but it doesn't seem like killing him is the answer.
I'm not killing him, I'm just chasing him off, eh?
I see, okay.
Like, I don't shoot to kill. Oh, I'm not stupid.
Okay.
Hey. Okay, that's it. Keep running, baby.
So you're just going to sit there in your house all week and just shoot at people in your front yard?
Yeah, it's good times, eh?
Okay.
Luckily, Canada has lax gun laws.
Sure. I see. All right. Well, what about some of the other things that we've been seeing about you're getting tattoos and you're wearing crazy jewelry?
Yeah,
what are you doing to yourself?
Because I'm a straight-up OG, eh?
But, no, you're not at all.
I'm way gangsta.
Do you know what those words mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm full of gang. I'm all gangstered.
I'm all blanged up. You're a white privileged kid from the suburbs. You're none of those things, Justin.
That's you and I are going to have a beef now.
Oh no!
Yeah, we're beefing.
Let's talk about the necklace then for a second. It's all diamonds and it's ridiculous and it's Stewie from the Family Guy, right?
Yeah, Stewie's OG, eh? He's like all. Represents, like, my badass attitude, eh?
Okay, he's a cartoon character on Fox. That's all he is.
Now, but he, tries to take over the world, eh?
Well,
he's
that's
like a baby taking over the world. Sound like anybody you know? Eh? Hey!
Maybe put the gun down.
Why? It's fun to shoot it off. I had no idea until I got to America how fun guns were. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. That's what that's all about right there.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
Good luck to you, too.
Good luck with the privacy, that whole issue, because you don't seem to be left alone no matter where you go.
People are
making death threats on your girlfriend.
Yeah, leave Selena alone, eh?
Yeah.
She's not doing anything except polishing my nuts.
Okay. All right, great.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, you want to go see the Green, which one is it? Lantern. You want to go see the Green Lantern before it opens? Ralph Garman will have tickets for you on today's Kevin and Bean Show a couple different times during the Showbiz Beat, so maybe next. So this past weekend, we had a great weekend. Kevin and I were very busy, saw a lot of great music. We were at the Weenie Roast, of course, in Southern California on Saturday, and then Sunday in Northern California at the BFD Show. Both great shows. And Snoop Dogg was playing the Live 105 San Francisco show. And, of course, who doesn't love Snoop Dogg? And Snoop Dogg, by the way, am I right about this, may have gone over as well as anybody on the bill that day.
It was mostly the same bands as ours, and Linkin Park followed him. But when he came out, everybody loved Snoop. But there was this dude, and Bean and I were totally upset. At least I was totally upset. Maybe he was 70.
Wow.
And Snoop runs with some security guards. I mean, he's got guys that are monsters.
Yeah, big dudes.
They all look like Brock Lesnar.
We know because we tried to get on Snoop's bus, and it didn't work. And we were standing there looking at these four guys out in front of Snoop Dogg's bus because we heard he was in watching the NBA Finals game. We thought, hey, would it be awesome if we could go ahead and sit with Snoop for a little while before he goes on stage and watch some basketball, right? You should have seen the wall of black dudes between us and the bus that we tried to talk our way through and failed.
Yeah, we failed miserably. But so then they get out on stage, and there's this really, really old guy. And he was mouthing off to somebody backstage. He's like, I'm going to show you some dance moves tonight. Tonight, I'm going to bring it. I'm going to show you some dance moves. And I thought, well, certainly he can't be, because when Snoop comes out, he's got his band come out, and they play music, and then he's got dancers, hip-hop dancers, three of them, hot chicks, and they come out, and they just are crazy, crazy great dancers. And then finally he comes out. I'm thinking, where does the 70-year-old fit in, and how and why? Mm-hmm. So we started watching, and then we noticed that he was just kind of standing over by the drummer, just sort of talking during the show. Like, he just wandered out. He had no purpose for being there. He just wandered out, and he was talking. He was drinking out of a cup. Don't know what was in it. And then, you know, he'd wander around. He'd walk up behind Snoop, who's performing at the time. This is not warm-up or anything else. And just walk to the side of the stage and look around. It was almost like he didn't know there was a show going on.
That's bizarre.
And then about every fourth or fifth song, he would walk out and just start sort of dancing. I mean,
really more shuffling than dancing, though.
Sort of a shuffle, sort of a move in his hips. He would look into the crowd and point at hot chicks and give them the call me signal. And he's like 70, like I said. And I was just like, who is this guy? And why does he have free range of Snoop stage while he's doing his set? I've never seen anything like this before. I've seen Wu-Tang, and they have 75 band members, but they all somehow do something.
Right. That was the thing about him. He wasn't part of the choreography because he just kind of came and go randomly. He wasn't, you know, holding a mirror up to Snoop like the guy in The Time does. He didn't have even that job. He wasn't, like, bringing equipment on and off the stage. I mean, he was just going out there sometimes and just kind of dancing. And I was thinking, what a bizarre job. I mean, he just must be somebody who's very, very close to Snoop that Snoop enjoys having around for the vibe, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because of the security, there's no one on that stage that's not supposed to be. And he just has free range of the place. He has zero job. And he goes wherever he wants to do and does whatever he wants to do. Sometimes Snoop's rapping, and he'll walk in front of Snoop and just look in the crowd, and put his hands on his hips, and start moving all sexy and look at girls and stuff. So I did a little research, and for some reason, I found a couple of sites where it said that he's his Uncle Junebug. That's his name.
Okay.
But he's Snoop Dogg. And maybe if you have more information, you can let us know. Snoop Dogg's Uncle Junebug. And what I found on the internet looked a little shaky, but according to the internet, he was his actual uncle, which I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah.
And he used to babysit Snoop when he was a kid, which I don't know if it's true or not, but it sounded like it was. But, you know, when you're on the internet, who knows if you're reading something that's, you know, legit.
You can't believe everything you read on the internet. That's how World War I got started.
That's true. That's a good point. So I took some video and I put it up on our website, kevinandbean.com, and it's just him posing and then dancing, and every once in a while he'll point to somebody, and sometimes he'll shuffle. It's sort of a shuffle, I'm too high or drunk to move dance.
And I'm wearing my slippers.
So yeah, sort of like that. Yeah, I'm not quite sure where I am.
Oh, man.
But these guys are my family, and they're fine with me doing whatever I do. And he's not really good at anything. He doesn't really do anything. And I just thought, I want to be that guy. If I'm going to grow old, I want to be 70-year-old roaming the stage at a Snoop show and trying to pick up on chicks.
Not a bad way to go.
That guy's my hero. And again, I'm not positive that what we told you is right. His Uncle Junebug is the answer that I kind of found. Well, I do a minimum amount of research, let's be honest.
Okay.
I mean, I go to like a site or two and then I'm good and I just go from there. But if you have any information on that, maybe you could let us know exactly because it looks weird. It doesn't make any sense to me. But I want to be the guy. I want to know if, like, God forbid, when he passes, if I could get that
there's
job.
There's an opening.
That's a great idea. I could see you in that position.
Because I could smoke out before every show, and I wouldn't know where I am. And I don't qualified. Know, and I don't know how to dance. I mean, I got everything.
I agree.
So I want the gig. And I don't know where to sign up for it or how it works, but if you could help me get in, I would appreciate it. That's today's. Thank you, Lisa. It is the world famous K-Rock at 6:52.
Wow. Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. What's going on, Ralph?
What time is it? What time is it on the clock?
It's weird.
Too many numbers.
Look, I'm about as accurate as I've ever been.
That's true.
Come on now.
Can't deny that.
Hey, before we get started with the show business news, I have passes to give away to the very, very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Green Lantern!
Yay!
Whether it's the dead of night or the middle of the day,
no,
we will
in brightest day, in darkest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let
as
those who worship evil's
yellow.
Might beware my power, Green Lantern's light!
Where's the part about the rain and the snow and how the mail always goes through?
Couple of douchebags. If you'd like to see it before anybody else, we're doing a special screening Thursday, June the 16th. Movies in theaters everywhere Friday the 17th, but you'll see it first if you can answer my trivia question, Green Lantern fans.
All right, I got this one.
First two callers who get through at 1-800-520-1067 with the correct answer will win a pair of passes. As we all know, when the ring chooses you to participate in the Green Lantern Corps, it's because you have the capacity to overcome great fear.
Okay.
You have strong willpower. So the ring chooses you to join the Corps.
How does it choose you?
Because it's sentient, Kevin. It has an artificial intelligence that's able to detect people who are able to overcome great fear.
All right.
But you have to be taught the ways of the Green Lantern Corps. You have to be trained. You can't just go out there as a raw recruit and fight the evils of the universe.
I think that's obviously.
So you go to the planet Oa, where they train you. What's the name of the head training officer of the Green Lantern Corps? Who is the drill sergeant of the Corps, if you will? Who trains those poosers?
Yoda!
Who trains those poosers when they get to Oa?
Would you call them poosers?
Poosers.
That's their name?
Yeah.
Pooser?
Yeah. Who trains them?
This movie gets
call now 1-800-520-1067 if you know the name of the chief training officer of the Green Lantern Corps.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
No, it's not Casey and the Sunshine Band.
And don't be so proud of yourself. Ralph's the only one that's excited about
this.
It's
awesome. He's one of my favorite characters in the Green Lantern mythos.
All right.
Jennifer Connelly and Paul Bettany, one of my favorite Hollywood couples. They have welcomed a baby girl into their family. Jennifer gave birth to her third child on May the 31st, so it's been a while. They've been keeping it under wraps. Congratulations to little Agnes Bettany.
Agnes?
You don't see Agnes very often.
Huh. Only in grandparents.
I think Agnes is making a comeback.
Huh.
Wow, how about that?
It's the first little girl for the family. She is the sister to Kai,
hey,
whose dad is Connelly's ex, David Dugan, and Stellan, their little boy that they had together, Paul and Jennifer. Stellan, Kai, and Agnes.
Well, wow.
They're adventurous name-wise, if nothing else.
They seem like awesome people, though, both of them.
I had a chance to hang a little bit with them at the Comic-Con last year because Paul was doing the rounds for Priest. It was surprising that I do promotion sometimes a year early for these films.
Yeah.
But she was there, and I got a chance to talk to both of them backstage, and they're just the nicest, most in-love couple you've ever seen. Just a sweet couple of people. So.
And totally out of the tabloids and live as normal a life as they can, and it's impressive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
Well, it's not surprising to the people over at CSI, but Lawrence Fishburne has decided to step down from the long-running series. After two seasons, his contract was up, and he's decided not to renew. He's going back to a full-time movie career, and producers say they didn't really expect to keep Lawrence Fishburne for that long a time of the show. They were just happy he was able to come along and replace William Peterson, who was very popular in that show, and kind of give some attention to a high-profile character and role for them, and now they're looking for a new actor to take over. They may be losing their other longtime star, Mark Helgenberg. Apparently, her deal is up as well. No word on whether she'll be returning or not. But it's season 12 as it moves forward into next year. So it's been on television for a long time. A lot of changes over there on that show.
Is it possible that Bieber is firing her? Is she the one that was fighting with Bieber?
She was the one who had some unkind things to say about Justin's time on the set. How he punched a cake. You want to punch a cake around a woman, especially, they will turn on you. Do not commit cake abuse in the presence of a woman.
That sounds like a joke, but that is what happened.
Yes. And while we're talking about punching, Anne Hathaway is taking her role as Catwoman very seriously on the set of the new movie The Dark Knight Rises. Word is she got carried away during a fight scene and jammed the butt of a gun into the eye of a stuntman.
Sweet.
Dude. Sent the guy to the ER.
Wow.
Yeah. She said she felt horrible about the incident, and when he got back, she gifted him with a silver engraved pen that read, "Remember, no one packs a punch like Anne." See, she had a sense of humor.
All right.
He probably would have preferred a check, but he got a pen instead.
Or an eye patch.
Or an iPod for all that. Do we have a winner to my trivia question?
Yes, we do. Let's see which guy it is.
You know it's a guy. It could be a girl. You don't know.
All right.
Scott?
Yes.
Who's the training officer on OWA?
Kilowog!
Yeah!
Woo! What a dork!
Don't hate Kevin. Don't hate Kevin.
What a dork you are!
And what does he call all the recruits?
They're recruits.
No, what was the word you used?
Poosers.
The poosers.
Listen up, you poosers.
Poosers. That's right.
Listen up, you poosers. I'm going to train you.
Is it possible they just misspelled poser?
No.
They just went with it?
That's what he says. It's like a drill sergeant. Like instead of, listen up, you maggots. Like one of those. Right. He's one of those type of guys.
Look, Scott, Scott, what's your level of interest in seeing the Green Lantern? Because Ralph is about a 14.
110.
There you go.
Okay. That's
way higher. Yeah.
These are your people.
Look, I mock you, Scott, and I mock Ralph. I'm really looking forward to the movie.
Well, then you'll be introduced to Kilowog, and you'll be able to appreciate him your own self.
It looks great, but you guys are dorks.
Oh, how dare you. Congratulations also to Jamie. He also had the correct answer. Hold on, guys. We're going to give you the details, but you're going to see the special advanced screening of Green Lantern.
At that screening, you're going to be able to use either the men's or the ladies' room, whichever you prefer when you're going to the bathroom, right?
No, because there'll be a ton of hot comic book chicks who also will be in attendance.
Oh, I see.
Well, there'll be someone there at the theater taking tickets, maybe.
That's it, though.
How dare you.
It's just going to be a sausage fest.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Jerry Stiller is 84 years old today. Comedian Joan Rivers is 78. Kenan Ivory Wayans of the Magical Wayans family is 53 years old. Nick Rhodes, keyboardist for Duran Duran, is 49. Julianna Margulies is 44 years old. No bell for Julianna Margulies?
Well, what do you guys think?
Yes.
I think she's stunning.
I would think so.
Okay.
Kanye West is 34 years old today. Maria Menounos, TV host
and
actress,
is 33. That's what I'm talking about.
Take it easy.
All right, easy. She's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 7 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Coming up later this hour, we'll tell you how you can own one of the most iconic pieces of rock and roll memorabilia ever. If you like Michael Jackson, especially, you want to stick around. That's coming up. Also, funny man Eddie Ift joins us in studio next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in.
The Kurt Cobain shotgun?
No.
I don't think so. No.
Although that'd be a pretty good item to have,
that'd
too.
Be cool. Hey, before we move on, I would like to just say about Snoop's uncle. Junebug?
Yeah,
we were just talking about. Uh-huh. I got a bunch of email. That is Snoop's uncle. He used to work at my high school, I guess Southgate High School, and he's in a few of his music videos, and that's his deal. He's just Snoop's uncle.
So he's just on the payroll just because he's family, and Snoop probably enjoys having him around, so it's a pretty good deal.
I'd like that to be my retirement plan. I'd like to do that next.
To be Snoop's uncle?
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to make it to retirement based on the reaction you got from the rest of the Kevin and Bean Show staff yesterday. I thought that they were going to burn you at the stake for something that you said in the meeting. What was that? What was happening there?
I was a little shocked by that, to be honest, but used to it. Here's the thing. We do a game called Lick Lisa, and basically we ask questions. Lisa gives an answer. The caller says higher, lower, the same, and then if they lick Lisa, then we have an intern or somebody actually lick Lisa.
Right.
So, and there's rules to the licking.
Sure.
There's just one rule, really.
It's just one rule, and that's downstairs, not available.
Yeah, steer clear.
Just keep clear of the vagina.
Right.
Yeah. So, at one point, we said, hey, but what about the boobs, then? That means that they're fair game. And she said, on the outside of my shirt or sweater? Fine.
I mean, I said no one would want to do that. You're just getting a mouthful of fuzz from my sweater.
Right.
Why would you want it? No one would want to do that.
No, that's so hot.
That's what Kevin said.
I did file that away. When did you say it?
A year ago.
About a year ago.
Late 90s.
I filed that away, and I thought, am I the only one who... That's great news?
Well, like, because look, we usually have an intern is the lucky person who's working that day who does the actual licking. That's their job. And Kevin, I think, was amazed that, year after year, the people would go to lick, and they would lick, Lisa's neck or her hand or
my
something
wrist,
like that.
Yeah.
And Kevin is sitting there just going, why aren't you licking her boobs? Because that's not one of the rules. That's acceptable.
Because
yeah, you can lick her
sweater.
Boobs.
You're licking sweater, not licking
but
boob.
But sweater over her boobs, though, right? That's what we're talking about.
I'd much
here.
Rather lick her bare neck than I would her boobs with a sweater over them.
I don't know. So that's a toss-up.
No, it's not.
To me, it's a toss-up.
I think that's bizarre.
So then I was thinking, like Lisa was looking at me like I was crazy. Like, yeah, I wouldn't care at all because I don't even understand why you would want to do that. So it would be fine. And I was thinking, oh, my God, it's okay? That's fine? This
Kevin
is great
wants to start
news.
Doing the licking now.
I'm just saying this is great news. As a guy, I thought that's off limits because your boob's there.
I do understand.
She knows where
right.
her boobs are,
where
Kevin.
It is.
I think she knows the location of her
so
boobs.
So then right. Ralph started yelling at me because
you said
rightly so.
85% of all guys would just think that's so hot to do that.
No, he said 100%. He
100%,
said
right.
I was completely wrong. I was high. He was going to go in the office, throw it out there. 100% of guys would agree with him. I was insane.
Yeah.
It didn't work out quite that way.
It didn't.
Because I looked at you and said, what are you, nuts?
Yeah, Ralph did. Yeah, he did have some hatred for me. But
Let me ask you this, though, guys. We're talking about the licking because it's the Lick Lisa game. And, Ralph, you say you'd rather lick bare skin anywhere on Lisa's body than lick her sweater, right?
Well, not above, anywhere, but especially if I have an option for neck.
Great.
Like,
okay.
Neck.
That's
or,
fine.
Or wrist.
But let's say you're
going to
lick.
Or inner knee.
Let's say that.
Inner knee.
Yeah. Back of the knees.
Let's
big,
say.
Big pleaser.
Let's say that you're we're playing a game. It's about a 5-minute long game, and you have 3 to 4 opportunities to lick. I don't know. I'd throw in a boob lick. Just because. And it's not always a sweater, by the way. Sometimes it's a blouse. Sometimes it's a shirt. Come on now. How is
what
that
difference
not?
Does it make?
It's just, it's a mouthful of cotton. That's
yeah,
what you're
getting.
It's just
your tongue against cloth. That's all you're
but
getting.
But the cloth is on the outside of the boob.
Yeah,
so
but
that
what
makes
are you, 12?
It...
Just because you're near a boob doesn't automatically make it hot.
I can't be the only one who thinks that that's news. Like, I thought, wow, guys would be surprised to know that that's okay.
It's just nothing is what it is.
Great.
It's meaningless.
It's not even like you get to grope with your hands. If you were grabbing her boobs over, with her over a sweater, then that's a different experience than just licking the cloth on top of them.
Why don't you hold that thought? Is the hands over the outside of the sweater any different?
Yeah, I agree with Ralph.
It's
definitely
that is
different. Yeah.
That would feel much more like a sexual overt thing for you, right,
getting
Lisa?
Getting a hold of it, yeah.
Well, you don't know what I would do with my mouth, by the way. I might even bite.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm not braless. You know that, right? So
of
you got
course
the sweater,
I know that.
You got the bra. You're not getting anywhere close to anything.
Well, okay, let me...
Really?
You're getting closer than you are at the wrist.
Let me
but that's
pause right
sense,
here.
That's a point of sensuality. The inner wrist is you're having immediate contact there.
Let me pause right here.
Yes, Bean.
And invite our listeners, if they'd like to weigh in on the debate from either side, 1-800-520-1067 is our toll-free number here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And I know that I'm going to get a great deal of a scorn here, but I am also used to it. I got to agree with my man Kevin on this one.
Like,
I got to agree with my man Kevin on this one.
Now I have to agree with Ralph.
No, I'm
but what
serious.
Is, what is less relevant than Bean's opinion on doing something with a woman, really?
Yeah. I'm just saying that what? Even though you're licking a sweater, you're still licking a sweater over a boob. I would take that as being more sexy time than licking somebody's wrist.
Let's ask Stephen Hawking what his favorite dance step is.
Let's ask Stevie Wonder what his favorite color is.
All right, so let's not go with Bean, but okay, fine, but we will take calls. It was shocking to me, and it still is, that the outside of the clothes seems to be more fine than I thought. Like, I figured the outside of the clothing would be just as offensive as...
Right.
The inside of the clothing.
No, it's almost comical. It's almost comical.
Fantastic.
It's the opposite of sexy.
To you.
To anyone.
To
no.
Me.
Who's not 12. It's like if you're a little boy and you've never been with a woman before and you get remotely close to a boob, you're like, well, and you lose it in your pants. But if you're a grown-up man and you've been with a couple people,
right.
I would think you would progress beyond that stage.
I don't think boobs lose their fascination just because you get older.
No, they
though,
don't.
Ralph.
But when they're wrapped in a sweater and a bra and you just have to lick the outside of some cloth, but I don't think it's exactly a boob experience.
No, it isn't. But it's much closer to a boob experience than licking a wrist. And I didn't know
no,
that.
That's a bare wrist. That's just skin on skin, that's sexy.
If Lisa says that she doesn't, it's nothing, it doesn't even exist, then to me, that's breaking news. I thought, I didn't know that was, I thought that would be off limits as much as everything else.
That being said, I don't want you really slobbering on my clothes.
Too late.
You know.
That's just because she likes her clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's take one call real quick. Let's make it Tony on line two, and then we want to invite you. I want to hear from some ladies, too, by the way. If maybe Lisa's the anomaly here, maybe other women out there would be horrified by a guy licking their chest over their clothes.
Well,
maybe
that would be stranger on a subway.
We're not talking about strangers. In we're talking about context. The scenario here, the context of the Lick Lisa game. It's going to be somebody that you know, a coworker. Would you allow them to lick the outside of your clothes, or would that gross you out? Because Lisa seems to be fine with it. So I'd like to hear from the ladies too. But let's get Tony's opinion real quick first. Hey Tony, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What say you?
Hey guys, how's it going? Hi Lisa.
Hi.
Hi Lisa.
Right. I don't usually agree with Kevin on many things.
Well, that's a safe position. You shouldn't. Go ahead.
It's totally odd because you guys aren't really, you know, saying what part of boob, because she could be wearing like a low.
Well, we're talking
Let's
about covered boob.
Let's just assume it's a sweater.
You're getting no skin contact whatsoever.
Right.
Is it hot? Here's the question for you. Oh, we did? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sad that Tony is your people.
He said yes.
He's your people.
Listen,
did you hear him?
Everybody that's agreeing with me, I don't want to be on their side.
All right. We want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. Guys, do you think it's hot? Ladies, would you think it would be okay to lick the outside of the sweater?
Outside the clothes is fine?
Outside the clothes. Yeah,
sweet.
That's what we're talking about.
It's kind of boring, which obviously I think is the indicator of everything you need to know about that experience. If a woman's like, yeah, whatever, then automatically it's not sexual or hot.
I'm not saying it's the end all. I'm just saying that I didn't know even that was available. But now that I know that, every woman in this office better start wearing thick sweaters. That's all I'm saying.
Kevin's just going to run around with his tongue out all day long.
We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about a topic that came up as we were discussing Lick Lisa, the game that we play where somebody actually does literally lick Lisa. And Kevin is thinking, and I got to agree with him. I think you got a lot of support here in the office, Kevin. Kevin is thinking, why is nobody licking the boobs? It's not a big deal to Lisa. She doesn't consider it a sexy thing. It's not a turn on for her at all.
It's also not a turn off for her. It's nothing for her.
It's nothing to her, right?
Your spit on my clothes.
Yeah, it's gross.
So I'm not really happy about that.
I'm not
going to
slobber.
Just in terms of being offended.
Yeah, okay, I'll slobber.
Phil writes in, Kevin and Bean.
My mouth is too dry. I will not slobber on you.
I'm afraid you'll get stuck.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Phil says, I think I'd be in huge trouble if I said to my wife, oh, I just licked a girl's boob over her shirt, more so than if I said I licked the back of her wrist. I'm just saying. Isn't that true, Ralph? Don't you think that would be true with most people?
Well, we're not talking about getting what would get you in trouble with your wife.
Right. We're just talking about the idea that this is not completely off limits immediately from the beginning.
I mean, I think what we're saying is this sexual or not?
Right.
All right, let's talk to Susan. Let's get a backup female opinion here because maybe Lisa's the freak here. Maybe other women would be horrified by somebody licking their boobs through their sweater. Hi, Susan. Thanks for calling. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm sorry, I went to the wrong line. Susan's where?
Line five.
She's on five.
All right, go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
I don't find it sexy at all. I have very sensitive nipples. I have a nipple ring on my right here.
All right.
Can't hear her. Can't hear her.
Turn the music down. Let us hear her. Let us hear her.
He's trying to react because she's not agreeing with him. Yeah.
So could I come to your house?
Kevin's typical thing. He just whatever works for him, whatever fantasy he can create in his own head.
She's not disagreeing with me. Didn't she say it's
well, I know I think that I'd rather have you rip my shirt off and my bra off and like the skin.
Well, listen.
Okay, that's way better.
look, there's no question. I think everyone agree that's much better.
Right, that's why we're saying it's pointless with the shirt.
Okay,
not pointless.
I think the skin on skin's better. I would get more turned on. I would get more
of
wet.
Of course.
If someone grabbed my wrist and started licking it and my neck and that.
Skin on skin.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
But in this
particular.
Look, in this particular instance, I'm not interested in what turns you on. I'm not interested in what turns me. I'm not trying to satisfy you.
Then
I'm just saying,
how desperate for boob are you that's good for you? That's enough. Just getting your tongue on a sweater is enough.
Leonard writes,
are you on a desert island? I don't understand.
Sorry, Kevin, but you're wrong. It's not hot at all. However, Mouthful of Cotton, I heard, is playing the side stage at Acoustic Christmas. So. Yeah,
Thank you for the call, Susan. Let's try Danny. Danny's on line four, and I think he agrees with us, Kevin. Danny, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey, guys.
Hi, Danny.
Yeah, I would totally lick her boobs.
Yeah, I would totally.
I'm not sure you understand.
You know, we're talking about
through
a sweater, right? We're talking about through a sweater. Would that be more of a turn on to you, or do you agree with Ralph that it would be sexier to lick a sensitive spot on her skin somewhere else on her body?
No, I'll just try to get as close as I can to her boobs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I've never been near one before.
I got to tell you, the support I'm getting is really worrying me.
Because it's pathetic.
Let's try Rebecca, line two. Get another lady's opinion. Rebecca, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, if you're Lisa May, does it not bother you if Kevin's licking her boobs outside her sweater?
It does not bother me.
It doesn't really do anything.
Because it's nothing.
Fantastic. That's the best news ever.
It should be nothing for you, Kevin. That's what we're saying.
What about motorboating over a sweater?
Over a sweater.
Over a sweater.
You know, I think I should be okay with it.
All right.
Wow.
Rebecca,
we need to start playing Lick Rebecca.
Are you available tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.?
Hey, Rebecca, let me ask you this. This is a serious part of the equation here. All right, so you would allow it. It wouldn't do anything for you. It wouldn't bother you. You don't care. What would you think of a guy for whom that would be a turn-on, would be to lick you outside your sweater?
Well, that's a setup for her to say I'm pathetic.
I don't know what she thinks about it.
Yeah.
No, it would not be a turn-on. Is that what you're asking?
No, she's asking what you would think of the guy.
Yeah, who gets turned on by that.
I would think he is a huge nerd, probably.
Yeah.
Huge nerd. A little sad.
Really lonely.
Yeah, a little bit. Right. Maybe he needs to get more action.
Yeah, okay.
That's our Kevin.
Thank you.
All right, so I guess our conclusion, Kevin, is that you and I are on a tiny little island all alone, and don't even think of licking me.
I don't want to be on your island.
You're on Bean Island. You're on Bean Island.
John writes, go for earlobes. It'll make the boob more visible.
Yeah, it will.
And if that doesn't work, then pretend to trip and grab her like a real man. So I think that's probably a better... 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:37.
Next month, you'll get a whole album from the newly reformed Sublime with Rome singing lead. That is Panic here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Soundgarden coming up. Also, the Black Keys and Ralph's Cut the Showbiz Beat. Roll this news story about one of the biggest pop culture items in history that's up for auction right now.
We have what is probably the most significant piece, not only of Michael Jackson, but pop culture history, and that is the red Thriller jacket. The Thriller jacket, you know, it's hard to put a value on something as priceless as this, so it's really a piece that belongs in a museum. It's one of those items, if a museum had it on display, you would make the money back in attendance by people coming in from all over the world to see it. So we estimate at $200,000 to $400,000. But, you know, again, the sky's the limit. We anticipate that it could sell for $500,000 to $1 million.
Oh, my God.
It's a jacket that probably cost $100 when it was new. I mean, it's hard to argue how iconic it is. Michael Jackson, one of the most popular entertainers in history. The most famous music video of all time. Yeah. I mean, you've got both of those things happening, and he's gone. So all three of those combined to make it just super, super valuable. Well, we wanted to find out more about the story, so we asked producer Alex to hook us up with an appointment to the Hotline to Heaven. And I believe we've got Michael Jackson ready to talk to us now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
How you doing, buddy?
If I had known that jacket was that valuable, I would have sold it when I was alive.
You could have used the money, right?
I could have used that cashish.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about, I mean, I know you you know, pay attention to what's happening down here on Earth, but what do you think about, you know, people selling your stuff, making tons of money off of what you left behind?
It's hard for me to see people making money off of things that I gave with love to my audience for free.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, not for free. You had to buy the Thriller album.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying.
Sure, right.
And so it's hard, but I think there's things much more important to me that if you're going to spend money on it, it would be much better to buy at auction than just that simple jacket, which was just a piece of clothing.
Well, we were just having that discussion during the song, and that is, you know, is the glove the biggest thing or the jacket the biggest thing? There's stuff that's more important to you than the jacket?
Absolutely. Things that played a bigger role in my life than just simply pieces of costume that I wore on stage or in videos.
Well, like, what would be a more important thing than that jacket?
I think someone should spend hundreds of thousands of dollars for the Pepsi can that they used to put my head out when it caught on fire on the set of the commercial. That's more important to me.
Yeah, sure it is.
That's
yeah.
a pretty big moment, sure.
Doused with Pepsi to put my hair out.
That was a bad day for you, wasn't it, Mikey?
Not a good day.
No.
I think I would pay more than what they're paying for that jacket for one of my noses. Wouldn't you?
Well, yeah.
I used to breathe through it and everything.
Right, but do they have a lot of your noses?
I would pick it right. on occasion.
Right.
It's a very personal item.
But are those up for auction? I mean, are
I'm pretty sure they're in a shoebox in my closet still.
Okay.
Oh, we got to check on that, I guess.
I know there's a... There's a syringe of propofol laying around someplace. Might go up for auction. Be worth a lot of money.
Yeah, I can see that.
Maybe the leather belt that my dad used to motivate me.
Oh,
oh, that's just
in rehearsal.
Sad. That's not.
I wouldn't be where I am today without the motivation of that big wide leather belt.
I don't think I would. Have
your dad was a bad man, right, Michael?
He wasn't fun.
No, he doesn't seem like it was a good time at your house.
Wasn't a bucket of chuckles.
No,
in
I mean it was
Indiana back in the day.
It
mostly
was just
beatings and
dancing.
Dancing,
right?
And
right.
Occasionally some porridge.
That's a sad.
You ate porridge?
Sad way to live.
Yes, we did.
Wow.
Maybe that would be something people could auction. My old porridge bowl.
Porridge. I haven't heard the word porridge since Dickens, by the way. Most of us, it's just oatmeal.
Yeah, well, we had a lot of porridge, and this little blonde-haired girl came into our cottage one day, and she tried my bed, and she tried my dad's bed.
You might be getting confused with some other stories.
Oh, that's Goldilocks.
Yeah. That didn't happen. Let's get back to the fig.
Okay. So other things we could auction off.
Yes. Yes.
I'm done, I think.
That's it. Just the porridge.
You're
going out on
porridge? I'm so hungry. I'm going to go get some porridge right now.
Okay, well, I guess have fun with that. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you for talking.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, is your pal Eddie Eft here yet?
He is. He's in the other room. We're just chatting. Lovely, lovely gentleman. Very funny.
Eddie tweeted last night, I'm doing the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow. I sure hope Ralph Garman is going to be there. And I thought, well, that's nice. I appreciate that. That's great.
Well, because he knows.
Apparently, you're the draw.
He knows where his bread is buttered.
Sure. Yeah.
He knows where the talent lies as well.
That's right.
He joins us right after the top of the hour. Very funny man coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now time for the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
I want to give away some more passes to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Green Lantern.
Yeah!
Why don't we call these the Kevin and Bean advanced screenings? I've never seen either one of you at any of our advanced screenings.
I don't
frankly.
Like screenings as a whole.
Yeah, I understand that either. You're a weird little man. You're busy licking sweaters and not going to see movies. You're a strange, strange little man.
If I'm excited about a movie, I want to go the first weekend when everyone else is excited. I like the energy.
And you're in line with a bunch of douchebags who are talking and texting in the theater.
No!
Yes.
I think that happens at screenings because those people are just trying to win, maybe just trying to win something regardless of what it is.
But regardless of their who's sitting in the theater, you're the one seeing the movie. You're the one who experienced the film.
I don't know how to explain it to you. I just would rather see it in...
No, you're wrong.
Okay.
All right. I'm telling you, you wouldn't prefer that.
I didn't know I could be wrong.
No,
that way,
you wouldn't prefer that.
All right.
Green Lantern is the name of the movie. I've got three pairs of passes to give away. But listen, this is a hot ticket. I'm getting a lot of emails, a lot of people calling, a lot of hardcore comic book fans want to see Green Lantern before anybody else. So I got to make you earn it.
All right.
Here's the trivia question. You have to know the answer to this trivia question. Be one of the first three callers to get through at 1-800-520-1067. If you are, you'll get a pair of passes to attend Green Lantern Thursday, June the 16th. The movie, of course, is in theaters everywhere on the 17th. I don't have to tell you guys, but you know, here in Sector 2814, we are, the best of my knowledge, the only sector in the universe under the Guardians of the Universe with the Green Lantern Corps to have multiple lanterns covering our sector. Usually it's one lantern, one sector. That's how it breaks down.
Is this a bigger sector that requires more lanterns?
No, not particularly. But for some reason, I think because we've got so many Earthmen who are Green Lanterns, that we have four Earthmen Green Lanterns in Sector 2814.
Okay.
I need to know the names of all four of them. Give me the names of all four Green Lanterns in our sector, and you'll be going to see the screening. 1-800-520-1067. All four Earthmen who are Green Lanterns here in our sector.
And you would want to hang out with somebody who knew that.
Yes, because then we can talk about who's your favorite lantern? Who's your favorite GL? Oh, I'm old school. I like blank. Or what about blank? No, but the latest one, blank, I don't care for
him at all.
They're
all named blank? That's lame.
No, I didn't want to give out the names because I just asked the question.
I see. Okay.
All right. Let's talk about movies. With Bachelor Party being so successful and the Bridesmaids film being so successful, someone in Hollywood had the genius and said, oh, let's push those two things together.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get a Bachelor Party movie, but also put a chick in there and see how that is going to be a recipe for success. The movie's called Who Invited Her?
And it's about a woman who insists on tagging along with the guys for their bachelor party weekend. Things get awkward, she gets upset, they're uncomfortable. Oh, the laughter. I can hear it now. And wait, it gets better. Playing the girl who tags along for the bachelor party weekend? The hilarious Reese Witherspoon. Yes.
No! No!
Get your tickets now at moviephone.com and Fandango. Who invited her? It's called...
Should be called, Can't We Ditch Her in the First 10 Minutes?
Should be called, Who Wrote This? Piece of S.
Who invited her?
You can just almost hear the pitch meeting. I guarantee you that movie was sold in a synopsis as opposed to no one wrote a script and then sent that in.
They said, it was just Hangover times Bridesmaids, right?
You got Hangover, right? Then the Bachelor Party and Hangover? Okay. Plus Bridesmaids, okay? And then we put those two together and then boom. Reese Witherspoon.
And the person that was being pitched should have said, go ahead and write that. Let me look.
Take Green
a look.
Light!
That's what they said. Look, I'm not saying that movie couldn't be funny in the right hands. It could, but not with Reese Witherspoon. That's a terrible choice for the woman to tag along, isn't it?
But America loves her.
But who's the woman in that movie?
But America loves her. She gives water to elephants, for God's sakes. What do you need from a person?
It's a good point.
Gwen Stefani told Entertainment Weekly this week that her solo career is over.
Oh.
Really? I thought she really enjoyed that.
She said her time in the spotlight went on too long for her. She never expected the two solo albums to be as successful as they were, so it kind of got away from her. She said from now on, all of her efforts will be on No Doubt. Music with the band and working with the band.
That's great news.
They also, Gwen said, will be making a major announcement this Friday. No Doubt will be making a major announcement this Friday.
Maybe. Can we have major announcements stop by the cabin to meet you?
Yeah, I love it. See what's going on.
Maybe it's about the new album that they've been working on for 17 years.
I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Me too.
I am too, but I will also say that even though she went off and did pop music and got away from her rock and roll roots, I very much enjoyed the Gwen Stefani solo material as well. I thought it was very, very well done.
Hmm.
That's how good she is.
Well, Mark Bean Down is someone who has enjoyed,
someone who
work.
Enjoyed the solo work.
Noted. I
like the music we can play. That helps me.
Remember the days when we used to play No Doubt?
Yeah.
Those were good times.
Yeah.
Those were good days.
Yeah. They were.
And then apparently someone burned all the copies of No Doubt music.
Which is odd because they don't do that with any other band.
No, it's strange. Someone removed all digital and physical copies of No Doubt music and we can no longer play it.
Yeah. That is weird.
It is very odd. Glenn Beck's getting his own network. Sure, it'll be online, but still.
Online.
You can tune in for GBTV. 2 hours of Glenn Beck daily, fresh, on his own online network, just for $5.95 a month.
If you listen to Glenn Beck, you.
I think that's a perfect place for him. He can go there, and all his people can go there, and they can all just talk to each other on the internet and put on their tinfoil hats.
And we won't accidentally come across him when we're flipping channels.
I don't have to watch him cry anymore. It'll work out.
You know, we are getting to the point, though, where lots of people get much or most of their content from the internet. And it's not going to be that long before lots of very popular shows are going to be internet only. You don't really need TV anymore.
Bean's playing, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Bean wants
you guys all know he's talking about himself,
internet.
Right?
Yeah.
Someday, you just put a coaxial cable into your brain and you just lay back and take the long nap.
I wish that could start now.
Look, as a star of an internet radio show myself, I have to tell you, there are advantages,
of course,
to being online and not being terrestrial, as we say.
Of course, right? And the Glenn Beck Show, I mean, people can watch it on their phones or watch it on, you know, their iPads or whatever they got and take it with them. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to use it that go beyond sitting on your couch in front of your television. I mean, entertainment has changed, and it's much more portable. And who knows? Maybe he'll make more money doing this internet show than he would if he went to another TV station.
See, that's where I draw the line. I think there's a lot of opportunities and a lot of freedoms and advantages to being online, but the money has not yet been not close.
Not even close, right?
That you can get online versus network and terrestrial media.
A lot of people haven't figured out how to make any.
Yeah, that's the only part they're really struggling with, is how to monetize all that stuff. And even these subscriptions that you pay, the $4.95, $5.95 a month, whatever, you're going to reach a saturation point with that where most of your big fans will have already paid for their subscriptions, and then where's the money coming in after that?
Yeah,
that's the one thing with advertisers, is a constant flow of finances.
Well, Beck is still going to have advertising in addition to charging to see it. So, I mean, I think we're heading in that direction more than at any time in the past.
All right, let's talk about important things, shall we? Let's talk to Lalo on line 4.
talk about the four Green Lanterns.
Hey, Lalo.
How's it going? Cal Rayner, Guy Gardner,
right.
Hal Jordan,
right.
And John, and excuse me, John Stewart, Hal Jordan, Cal Rayner, and who did I miss?
What just happened? I don't know.
You got to tell me. Okay, you have to give me all four.
Sorry, I'm losing here.
That's all right. Okay. Let's breathe. Let's start from the beginning, okay?
And okay, no fair asking Roland for help.
Hal Jordan,
right.
Kyle Rayner,
the newest one. John Stewart.
And Guy Gardner.
Absolutely.
There you go. Those are there you go.
Well done, Lalo.
Ralph's going to be hanging out with Lalo.
And Michael. And
stop talking.
Sorry, Lalo. What were you saying?
Oh, no, and for bonus, Alan Scott, technically not part of the Green Lantern Corps, but he's a Green Lantern.
Alan Scott, of course, the original 40s Green Lantern. Okay, yeah, well done course. For the bonus credit.
Note to self, never talk to Lalo again.
Oh, come on, he's my people. Lalo, congratulations. Hold on, we're going to email the details, but you're going to see Green Lantern at the special screening. Congratulations also to Michael and Francisco.
All right.
I like the guy that offers up the bonus, even though there was no bonus involved.
Look, he's right. Alan Scott was a Green Lantern, but he's not a modern Green Lantern. He was the 40s Green Lantern. Then Hal Jordan, of course, was the original. And then Guy Gardner was his backup. Then John Stewart. And then Kyle Rayner took over right. when Hal Jordan became Parallax
not
and disappeared
possible to care about this less.
To the final night. So that's how we had to get
I can't wait for the movie. Let's not.
Can we go back to Lalo and find out whether he's ever lost his virginity? And if so, how old he was.
That's
how old
cliche.
He was
that's
when he lost his virginity. Because I'm telling you, he was 30 if he ever lost it, he was 30.
Stop it. Yeah. Of course he has.
He'll let you know, Bean.
When
of course
it happens. He has. You want to talk
did
to Lalo and find out?
Well,
did you hear him? Did you hear him? Did you hear Lalo?
Hey, put Lalo
I'm
on hold,
I'm telling
please.
You, he's fine. He probably has a lovely lady in his life. And it's just, that's a cliche. And frankly... I'm
how old do you think he was, Ralph, when he lost his virginity? Seriously.
I think he was 20.
Kevin, what do you think?
He'll let you know when it happens.
Lisa, what do you think?
I'm going to say 22.
All right, let's go to Lalo and find out. Lalo, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How old were you if you lost your virginity?
Lost my virginity 17 years old.
17?
Please.
Wow!
Hold on. I am married.
Married.
I have a super hot wife, and she's a law student, believe it or not.
Ladies and gentlemen, okay. That's my boy Lalo right there. Right.
I just got served by a guy named Lalo.
Well done, Lalo.
All right, thank you. We're going to put you back
see
on
you at
hold.
The screen. See you with your small-minded stereotypes about my people.
No, I was
let
impressed
my people
with,
go.
I was impressed with how fast he came up with that alternate story about his life.
Oh. I can't wait to get you guys down to Comic-Con this year. I can't wait to get you down to San Diego this July. And then we're just going to corner you and just beat you.
We go to Comic-Con.
Just going
to
pelt you.
We do go to Comic-Con, and we are the most hated people there. That's true.
You're going to shoot us with a ray gun, Ralph? Is that what you're going to do?
I'm going to shoot you in the face with something else. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jerry Stiller's 84 years old today. Joan Rivers is 78. Nancy Sinatra, 71. A lot of old people were born today,
yeah.
It turns out. Juliana Margulies from The Good Wife is 44 years old. Are you guys watching The Good Wife on CBS?
No. I hear it's the best show on television. I haven't watched it.
I hear it's good.
Kanye West is 34 years old. Nick Rhodes of Duran Duran is 49. And TV host actress Maria Menounos celebrates her 33rd birthday. Can you stop that?
Because that many bells?
Really?
She deserves that many bells.
No,
I don't know if
doesn't.
You've seen her lately.
She's fine.
My God.
She's
my
fine.
My God.
She's fine.
Holy mackerel.
And Dilbert creator Scott Adams is 54 years old. This bastard continues to live despite my best wishes every year. He gets another year older. Freaking Dilbert. God damn that comic strip. It's so not funny. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Eddie Ift in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, playing Saturday night, June 25th at the Hollywood Improv. Go to improv.com. And what will happen, Eddie Ift, if you go to improv.com
nothing.
To buy tickets for the show?
Absolutely nothing. They won't see a show. They won't be able to click it. The webmaster at improv.com has done a great job.
Okay. Are you playing that night?
I am playing that night.
Are you sure?
Yes, okay. I am absolutely sure. And if you want to buy tickets, I'm going to give you my address.
Okay.
Just send me cash in the mail.
Okay.
I accept weed, too.
Cash or weed?
How this is going to go.
Send weed in the mail. See what happens.
But I don't understand, Eddie, because the Improv is an institution in Hollywood, has been around for a long, long time, puts on a lot of shows, sells a lot of comedy tickets. What's the problem with selling yours?
Well, they moved my date. I was supposed to be doing originally June 11th, but apparently a bigger named comedian moved in and took my date.
Does that happen a lot?
It happened last night, too. I was about to walk on stage, and Daniel Tosh came in with his new celebrityism and went, I'm going on. And I went,
they made the right
Daniel.
Call.
Yeah, I know. Hey, thanks, me.
But wait, really? That happened? Like, they don't just squeeze him in with everyone else? They literally just bump you?
Yeah, they just bump you.
Wow.
It's like a thing in comedy where you, and you see it all the time about who's bigger than who.
Right.
Like, a comedian will be waiting to go on stage, and you'll see them, and all of a sudden, somebody bigger goes on.
Okay, I'm going to tell you that I am shocked by this news, Eddie, because, and I'm not joking, in my mind, you are a big, famous comedian.
In my mind, I am, too. That's the problem. It's only in this mind right here, not many other minds or Twitter followers. And I think that's how it goes now. I think that's how you're famous, by how many Twitter followers you have.
That's how important you are?
It's like currency.
Yeah.
People go, you know, like, how much you worth? How much is your house?
Right.
What kind of car do you drive? How many Twitter followers do you have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Tosh probably kicks your ass in that arena. Yeah, he kicks my ass in every single one of those. Yeah.
You know, Bieber just passed 10 million Twitter followers.
Yeah, but he's going to have a heroin addiction within 4 years.
But what could he possibly have to say that would be interesting to anybody? He has 10 million people following him. The president would be lucky to get 10 million people tuning into one of his speeches.
9 million of them are pedophiles from Belgium.
Well, maybe that's true. So you got bumped last night, and now you're having trouble because the website does not accurately reflect your appearance at the Hollywood Improv
later
this month.
And so let's
bad
not,
day let, to be Eddie F.
Yeah, so let's not even plug that. Let's plug my podcast with Jim Jeffries.
Okay.
That's what's going well in my life.
All right. Okay, I got to ask you about the podcast, and I'm so glad you brought it up because I went to a Google today to see what was in the news with Eddie F.
Are we going to talk about this?
I have to talk about this. So you know how this works. You start to write something in Google, and in this case, you write Eddie F. And what do you think, Kevin, the first thing, you know, the autocomplete where it finishes whatever everybody else has heard you
want to talk about.
What's the first thing that comes up when you type Eddie F?
No!
Okay. Did you type both words Eddie F, or did it interrupt
type
the last
Eddie F.
name?
Okay. Do you have Eddie F. It might be funny if you do it right now. Do you have your computer in front of you?
Yes, we do.
All right, let Beerbug type Eddie F. And some of the other ones on the list include podcast, include comedy, include girlfriend, video, the types of things that people would just for. What does it say, Kevin?
It's the last name, by the way, is IFFT, and it's and it says Eddie F has AIDS.
Yeah!
What? Why now, would that?
What's, it's called a Google bomb. On our podcast, Jim came home one day. Jim is trying to become a citizen of the United States, and he came home with he had to go get an AIDS test for his green card.
Right.
So he comes home, and he goes, we have an old story of how we met. We went to an AIDS test together because we were in South Africa, and Jim had sex with a hooker without a condom and thought he had it, and we went and got AIDS tests. And when he got his test, he went in and got it done. And he made me get tested, too. I drove him there. And I was like, I don't need to get tested. And he's like, no, you should get tested. And I said, I don't need to. He goes, well, just do it so, you know, moral support. And I went, and I'll admit, I had been calling him AIDS-y all week.
And
so he goes in and gets his test, and they give him his answer like 5 minutes before me. So he comes out of the test and says, I don't have it, I don't have it. I saw your results.
Just effing with you.
You have it.
Right.
So for 5 minutes, I thought I was dying. And so he tells the story now on our podcast that he just got a test. This was like a month ago. And he gets a test and he's negative. And then he goes, but I think all our listeners should type into Google Eddie F has AIDS. And if we do it enough,
sweet,
it'll go to the top. Well, now anytime you go to any page, I'm on Wikipedia, anything, there's ads for like antiviral drugs.
Sweet.
There's like foundations for HIV. And it's like, thank God I have a girlfriend, because I can imagine if I was like met a girl and she just Googles
single,
me and is like, oh, wow.
Well, Eddie F Podcast, Eddie F Comedy Central, Eddie F Live in Australia, all these come up after that.
So now I'm on the phone all day long with like web geeks scrubbing the internet trying to clean it off.
God. Everybody listening, if you could help us out here, type in Eddie F has AIDS.
And by the way, and now people heard it from somebody who heard it from somebody. So now on all of the question sites like Yahoo Answers and stuff, people are writing in, hey, I heard that Eddie F has AIDS. Is that true? And then all the people discuss whether it's true or not.
Yeah, and they say stuff like, yeah, and Jim Jeffries gave it to him. And
sweet.
But it's awful because my agent in England, apparently, he sent me this letter and said, my son works at Wikipedia, and my son has been pulling down your Wikipedia page because people keep writing that you have AIDS. And then
down the page entirely.
Yeah, they had to, like, stop it because people were doing it. And he said, my son now is afraid that it's true. Is that true? And I went,
oh my God.
No, Jim Jefferies did it. So I'm looking for a great practical joke to play on Jim Jefferies. And so if anyone has a really, I mean, really devious.
Well, this is a pretty strong one. I mean, this is going to be tough to beat.
Oh, I think we can beat it.
I don't doubt it, but I'm saying it's not an easy one.
But Eddie, you need to go with the AIDS thing so that you can sell out this improv show because it may be the last time people can see you on stage.
Yeah, but I have like AIDS jokes, so they're like it'll be like an AIDS benefit. They'll all show up and be like, he's evil.
Don't they say that anyway?
Yeah, actually they do.
Yeah, you got to get back at Jefferies.
I just did Australia. I did a tour of Australia, and I had my show was called What Women Don't Want to Hear.
Okay.
And the biggest newspaper in Melbourne, Australia, sends the critic to review my show is a cross-eyed, like 350-pound feminist lesbian.
Right.
Oh my God.
And she reviewed my show. I wake up in the morning. My promoter goes, you might want to read your review. And it was like, he's vile. He's disgusting. He needs to be deported. Colossally rotten. If you like people, don't go to the show.
Oh, man. Just so you know, if I read that kind of review, I think I got to go see this
Ticket
guy.
Ticket sales doubled.
That's my response is I must go.
Eddie, why did you name your podcast something that we can't even say on the radio?
It was the dumbest thing ever. We were sitting around. We're like, what do we do here? And Jim's like, oh, we talk. So then we did it. And then we got banned from iTunes because of it.
It's yeah, Jim and you can't Eddie. Put that word in the title. It?
Jim and Eddie talk.
It's too late now. Like it's running our T-shirts, everything. But we're moving up. We were like 12th this week, and so it's going well. But it's so hard to do anything with it. Like we can't plug it. We can't talk about it on TV. Or
I
the
think
radio.
That's a good plan. Then
between the two of you, have you ever made a good decision?
No, Jim. You wouldn't think he does, but Jim does. I'm the idiot.
I make
all the bad decisions.
Eddie Ift is here. We have to take a quick break, Eddie. We'll be right back to finish that thought. Saturday, June 25th is the actual date. You wouldn't know it from improv.com, but there's where you got to go to buy tickets for Saturday, June 25th to see Eddie Ift on stage in concert. We'll return more after this on The Kevin and Bean. Our friend Eddie Ift in studio with us now on The Kevin and Bean Show. Is it eddieift.com, I guess, is your website?
Yes, eddieift.com. Or you can go to my podcast website, which is Jim and Eddie Talk. Yeah. I can't say it. There's got to be an asterisk.
That's very close. That's as close as you can get to without actually saying it. So well done.
Yeah.
And the improv, of course, is Saturday, June 25th. Hey, real quick, before we switch topics here, you were talking about what your, shut up, Atomic.
Down boy.
Talking about what your fans can do to get back at your roomie for the horrible prank that he played on you, which I won't repeat for folks who are just tuning in.
Right.
Our friend Psycho Mike Atherwood from the Loveline radio show, says you need to start when you get a hold of Jeffrey's phone, you need to start sending inappropriate photos to like the Huffington Post or something from Jeffrey's phones. That's what got Wiener in trouble, you know, where those
really someone
photos.
Did. Yeah, but it's Jim Jeffries. If you send inappropriate photos, he'll be like, good, more ticket sales.
It depends how young and illegal those photos are, Eddie.
I'm just going to put on, I want to Google.
Bean, is there any way you can control
I'm talking right now. I got to throw them outside, but we got to wait until we're off the air here. I want to put like a Google bomb like Jim Jeffries is a Christian.
That'll hurt. That'd be the worst for him. Or the backup from Psycho Mike is next time he passes out, shave his mustache into Hitler's. So that's not a bad idea, too. And then maybe some take some pictures of that.
I have photos of him like that already.
Here's the problem with him is that he would love all of that.
Yeah
that's
true.
Find
something that he's afraid of bananas. Maybe we can do something with bananas.
We knew he was afraid of bananas. We had him on our comedy show, and we brought in bananas.
He came in here. I had a banana. I, just started peeling it and eating it. And he just looked away, didn't freak out.
We just wanted to test it. We were like, no one's afraid of bananas. That's not possible.
I think I know what I walked in last night. He's the messiest person alive. We call his room the hamster cage.
Okay.
It was my office. He was supposed to live with me for 2 weeks. It's been 2.5 years. His room, he comes in and empties his pockets. You know, people take out their change and like piece of paper and put it on their desk or in the... He just throws it on the ground. He has like a foot of garbage. I walk in last night and he's watching Hoarders and he's going, look at these freaks. Look at these freaks. If you're out there and you're from Hoarders, you can do a celebrity Hoarders
Sweet.
At my house. Come in and film Jim Jefferies' room. It is disgusting. It is filthy. It is vile. He uses a shovel to move stuff if he's like his girlfriend's coming over.
Wait a minute, is that an exaggeration?
No, his old roommate.
An actual shovel.
His old roommates in the UK told me that they, when they moved, They just went in his room with a box and a shovel.
Oh, my God.
And just shoveled stuff in a box.
You should put that up on the
So he does find hoarders fascinating, but it doesn't occur to him for a
second. Because it's a crystal ball for him, because he's looking at his future. That's why he enjoys it.
So anyone from Hoarders, please contact
me. That'd be sweet. Look, I know we've asked Jim this before, but seriously, you guys are grown men. You don't have to have a roommate, right? Yeah, you make a living.
Yeah, it's really creepy. My girlfriend just asked me why Jim has to come to dinner with us every night.
That's a great question, by the way.
It's really weird.
I mean, is it just that you're both traveling so much? Why pay a full share of rent in a place that you're not at very much?
We can both afford our own place.
Right, of course.
In fact, I don't even think he pays rent. It's just
what's happening?
I don't know. It's like it's weird. It's like
you do the podcast at home. You sit in your living room and do it.
His mom thinks we're gay.
Do you live with his mom?
No. I have news for you. Everyone thinks you're gay. I mean, what other reason is there for a grown-ass man to have a grown-ass man as a roommate?
Well, it's not just him. If you go in my house, he just moved a pinball machine into my house.
Okay.
In my dining room is a pinball machine. And then, I don't know if you know, we have a stoner that lives on our couch that we took in.
Right.
The guy whose lesbian wife left him after 12 years of marriage. Yeah. Well, he lives on our couch. And
is that permanent?
Sort of.
Okay.
He walks the dogs. He cleans stuff. He fixes stuff.
All right.
He does every errand. It's like having a personal assistant all the time that you don't pay.
All right.
You buy him dinner. If you go on the internet, I have a thing where I gave him $10 worth of pennies yesterday to go buy weed. He was begging for money, so I made him do it in pennies.
Take my pennies.
He's like, they're not going to take this. So I gave him dimes. He goes, game over.
What a bizarre life.
Yeah, Andy Dick came over to our house the other night and was like, this is the greatest place I've ever been.
Right, and that right there should tell you need to change.
Hold on. I go to my girlfriend's. 2 days later, Andy Dick's still at my house. Your bed is so comfortable.
So you can check in, but you can never leave at your place, basically, is what it sounds like.
It's
people
like,
come to visit and never go home.
Yeah, it's kind of like old school. We live in Venice right by the beach, so people just come over, and it's turned into this kind of fraternity house atmosphere. And, I got to grow up.
You do have to grow up. Yeah, I can't believe you've got a girlfriend. I can't believe with that life. How long can she put up with that?
She can't believe it either.
Yeah.
She's awesome, though. Her dad's a former NFL football player.
And oh, wow.
I've always looked for a girl that'll accept me. And when I first started, or her family will accept me.
Right.
And when I first met her, I met her parents. And her dad had just gotten in trouble for knocking out a bouncer. And I was like, this guy's awesome.
Right, yeah.
I was like, I'm going to get away with murder.
I would have been scared at that
point. Oh, he's massive. And when I went to visit them in North Carolina, he took me into the woods for a walk.
Oof.
And
oh,
I was like,
man.
I was like, I'm getting a beating. Yeah. I'm getting a
I'm
beating.
Get two to the back of the head right here.
He's like, yep, this is going to be like The Sopranos right now. Look
I really thought it was happening.
Eddie, we need to take another break. Would you mind sticking around for one more? Okay, we'll take another break. We got Eddie Eft here. June 25th is allegedly when he's playing the Hollywood Improv. Hopefully sometime in the next week or two, those tickets will go up for sale. And then we would suggest buy. Mama, this must be my dream. I woke up this morning and I thought, I hope we play a song that says dig it. I really hope that happens today.
Oh, this is your lucky day.
It's the world famous K-Rock at 8:39.
Funny man Eddie Eft in studio right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can see him at the Improv on stage Saturday, June 25th. That's the one on Melrose Avenue. And, of course, don't forget the podcast, Jim and Eddie Talk Shh. You can find that, wherever podcasts are sold. I guess on iTunes or through your website, you can find that as well, eddieft.com. Now, you've mentioned a word a couple of times that I'm not all that familiar with. I mean, look at me. But it's CrossFit.
Oh.
CrossFit. Now, this is a thing that you are into deeply or what?
Yeah, I actually, this is another thing I don't try to talk about on radio or in my act, because when you think exercise and working out, you don't think comedy. You think Joe Piscopo or Carrot Top.
Yeah.
And so I try to stay. I'm not like Psycho Mike. I'm not in that kind of shape. But I do this CrossFit. It's like a cult. I don't know if you know about it.
What's involved in CrossFitting? What do you do?
It's weird. It's a combination of sprinting, gymnastics, and Olympic weightlifting. And you do it all at once. And the workouts are really short but really intense. Like so intense that you want to vomit. And you're like lying on your back going, why did I do that?
It sounds horrible.
2 minutes of hell, then vomiting.
Yeah, but it's like all like special forces guys do it and like mixed martial arts guys. It's if you want to get, like you want to be in the best shape of your entire life possibly, you do this stuff.
But when you say special forces guys, do it. I'm out.
Right there, I guess.
And if clearly I wanted 2 minutes of hell and then vomiting, I'd just have sex.
That's 2 minutes of hell for her.
Yeah, well, it makes it that I can have sex again.
It's a cult, huh? It's really like the people who are into
it. Like, people that are into it are so... Like, I came in and Beer Mug over here had on a CrossFit t-shirt, and that's how it started.
Which is funny, because you look at him and you go, that guy doesn't do CrossFit.
Well, that's the funny thing. Anyone can do it.
But he doesn't.
And a lot of them look like Beer Mug.
Nope.
They scale it that anyone can do it. Oh, but it's just crazy, and they have this like CrossFit Games now. It's turned into like a real sport.
Games
and
like a competition.
It's a competition, and these guys, if you see the guys that do it, you didn't know human beings existed like this. They're the freakiest athletes I've ever seen in my whole life.
That's the way it was for me with the Japanese show that
Wipeout.
No, that's our show.
Ninja Warrior.
Oh yeah. A lot of CrossFit guys do that kind of stuff.
You look at that and you go, no one exists that can do this.
Yeah,
they do it.
You wouldn't believe these guys, just the freaks of nature. And if you go on, you go on their website and everything, you'll go, oh my god, these guys.
And did you tell us off air? I think that you may be doing some play by play or announcing.
No, I'm going to do. I was just invited to do some shows at some CrossFit like games. Like, they have these competitions, and people found out I do it, and they're like, hey, would you come to a show? And some of them are in the South, and I'm like, this isn't going to go well. rape jokes don't go well in the South.
It's tough to make those jokes anywhere, by the way, just for the record.
Anytime I do comedy around athletes, it just doesn't go well. I've done like professional golf events and stuff where they're just afterwards people are complaining. I, you know, shouldn't have done Tiger Woods jokes.
But that's, you know, people who book you should know you well enough to know that maybe you're not the guy for a golf charity or whatever.
I'm not the guy for any charity.
Okay, all right.
What was the neurofibromatosis? Some benefit for something where I was, I think it was spina bifida, and they were yelling at me, you're not funny.
Oh my God.
They were so drunk by the time I got on stage that they were just yelling. I said, can you quiet down and I'll do my jokes? And then they all started yelling. And
Were you able to win them over? Or did
no,
give
by
you a
the
chance?
End, I was yelling, I hope all your spines get bifida. I don't know what it is, but I hope you all die of it. And
maybe you're not the guy to do the charity benefit.
Yeah.
Eddie, has there ever been a time since you made comedy your profession that you have doubted that decision was a good one?
Every night.
No, I'm serious. No, I know you joke, absolutely. But have there been times where you thought, maybe this is not the life I want, or this isn't the right job for me? I mean, you've got an education. You went to college, for God's sake. You could do something else.
Are you kidding me? It happens. It still happens constantly.
Really?
Yeah.
But you're a professional known name now.
Yeah, but
though.
You like wake up and see a review from a cross-eyed 450-pound fat lesbian feminist, and you go, and it says you should be deported out of the country you're in, and you're like, maybe I shouldn't do comedy.
Hmm.
And, it still happens all the time.
But then you go, what would I do?
Yeah, the truth is, there was a point where I wanted to quit when I got sick of the flying and everything. And I was like, okay, if I quit...
And what's the backup plan?
What can I do at this point? What does my, like...
Didn't you do sports talk or sports shows?
A little bit. I did a sports radio show.
Okay, so you can do something like that,
there's nothing I could really do.
Okay. Look, if Vic the Brick can get on the air, anyone can get on the air.
I'm just
Come
saying,
on.
If you know sports, there's plenty of shows.
My resume would just go, he does good fart jokes.
Maybe you should change your resume a little.
Well, fortunately, you have AIDS, so you don't have to worry about
it. Don't say
not
that!
The case. That's,
I mean, you don't have AIDS. That's what I meant. You don't have AIDS.
That's a lie.
Jim Jeffries does. Google,
that's correct.
Google Jim Jeffries has AIDS.
It's too late. Check out the podcast. It is hilarious, he says, having not heard it. But Jim and Eddie Talk is where you want to look for that. Go to eddieif.com. And don't forget, the improv show is happening on Saturday, June the 25th. Awesome to have you in again, man. You're always welcome on the Kevin Bean Show. Say hi to your roomie for
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Not a lot of people left around.
That dude jumped off the stage at Wiener Rose with a wired mic and started running around. I was like, dude, hey, you might want to take a wireless mic next time. Maybe that would make it a little easier.
Kids today, they don't know.
It's the world famous K-Rock at 8:54.
You got your credit card out for our next guest coming up after the top of the hour, Ralph. We're talking to the Hollywood Collective, this guy. selling some treasure, some memorabilia.
I love him. I love his business. I love his TV show so much. I'm a satisfied customer of Profiles in History.
Oh, you've already bought stuff.
I once won in auction from them a pair of Adam West's screen-worn Batman costume gloves.
You might want to keep that to yourself in the future.
Not to Joe, I won't. He'll be very happy.
Sure.
No, I helped pay for his condo or whatever he's rocking
exactly.
These days.
Sure. Anyway, we'll find out what kind of movie and TV and star memorabilia you can buy in a minute here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I know they just put up for auction the original Robin go-kart sidecar to the Batcycle. Very exciting.
Does it work? Yeah. Do you have much Robin stuff?
I don't.
Robin's lame.
But anything screen used is hard to get and is a high-end commodity. And I know the Batcycle was first used in the 1966 Batman movie, and then they used it on the TV series as well. And I think it went for like $30,000, I think.
Note to self, no questions about Batman.
Oh, yeah, we're asking about Batman. I'm sitting in on this one.
We don't need you. That's very nice of you.
You need more than ever. You need.
It's a very kind thing of you to offer, but we got it handled.
Before I get to showbiz news, I do want to give away a really cool prize pack from Playboy, the Playboy prize pack, which includes the Playboy iPlayboy app for your phone, tickets to the Playboy Jazz Festival, parking for both days, which is key because it's up there at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah,
you know, you got to have a parking situation up there. Great lineup this year. The Roots are going to play. Buddy Guy's going to play. But the reason I'm giving away these tickets is because we're celebrating the new TV series, The Playboy Club, that's going to be debuting on NBC in the fall, September 20th, to be exact, which is all about the history of the very first Playboy Club. 1960 in Chicago, they opened up the Playboy Club, and it really sort of was the coolest place on earth to be. And they opened many more after that. But, you know, we forget, before the Playboy Club opened, there were no Playboy bunnies.
Yeah.
Playboy Club invented the bunny. Every time you see a hot chick in that outfit with the cuffs and the bow tie and the ears and the fluffy little tail, that came about because of the bunny. They were the waitresses at the bunny.
They've been around our whole lives. We owe it to this particular club.
That's
in Chicago.
My favorite look in the world.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to enter,
well,
not
second
only
second favorite.
Yeah, it's true. Once you take off the bunny outfit, that's my favorite.
All right.
If you'd like to win, I've got one pair of tickets to the Jazz Festival and the parking and the iPlayboy app. But more importantly, you will be entered into the drawing for the grand prize, which I will be pulling a name out of hat this Friday down Tater Tot. It is tickets to the Playboy party Friday night that will be the kickoff for the entire Jazz Festival weekend. Big party up at the mansion. The Playboy mansion. Me, you, and some bunnies in the grotto.
Playmates.
That's all I'm telling you. So. Yeah. Here's the trivia question. Very first Playboy Club, they invented a maneuver. One of the girls named Kelly Collins, who was known for being the perfect bunny, really. They invented a move that made it possible for them to serve you drinks without their boobs falling out of their costume. And that maneuver actually has a name. If you
really
know the name of the maneuver that had to be invented to keep their boobs from spilling out into your martini while they were waiting on you at the Playboy Club, call now, 1-800-520-1067. If you know the answer, you will be the winner of the tickets to the Jazz Festival and the parking and the iPlayboy app. And then you may be going to the Playboy Mansion with me on Friday, all thanks to the people.
The Houdini.
No, it wasn't the Houdini. No.
Arabian Goggles.
It was not the Arabian Goggles. Thanks to
Sandy,
the people.
Carl.
All right, let's all say something now.
Tony.
Dan.
Zah.
Yeah, it was the Tony Dan. That's right. That is the giver. Tony Dan Zah.
That's not a stretch.
I think that sounds like a good move. Couldn't you type in Danza? Did you have to make it three different words?
Omar did that. He doesn't speak English.
I'm excited.
About?
About Lisa Simpson of The Simpsons and her new shoe line.
What?
The actress Yeardley Smith has announced that she is launching a line of luxury footwear. Lisa Simpson's making shoes.
What?
She's launching a line of shoes.
Not interested!
That will go for $500 a pair.
Wow!
No!
Yeah. Although she admits she doesn't have any fashion experience whatsoever.
Good.
Oh, that's you know what that is? That's too much goddamn money is what that
is
right
exactly.
there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Simpsons money talking for you right there, where she's making $250,000 an episode, and she's just, I'm going to start making shoes.
Is $500, it sounds outrageous for shoes. Is that women's
that's
shoes?
That's a pretty pricey pair of shoes.
It is, okay.
Yeah.
Lisa,
you would know more than anybody, but that's a pretty high-end pair of shoes.
Absolutely.
Right?
Okay.
What are the Manolo Blahniks cost?
They're from there on up.
And Christian Louboutin. Christian Louboutin.
I haven't spent that much money on my shoes since I was born.
Ones are the red soles with Christian LeBlouf.
Yeah.
Christian LeBlouf.
Sure doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're very expensive.
I don't know what those are, but Jennifer Lopez had a song about them. I do know that one, the one that Ralph's talking about now.
Christian LaCroix. LaCroix. LeBlouf. LeBlouf. LeBaton. LeBaton. Christian LeBaton.
No way. I don't know what the answer is, but it can't be that.
Christian LaBouton. Christian LaBouton. LaBouton.
Really?
You might be right.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, I just know they're expensive. My wife
loves
shoes.
Hey, shut up.
My wife loves shoes like I like Batman toys. That's how crazy she is about shoes.
And you can't say no.
I can't because
look at that room.
She lets me do what I want with my things, but I'm like, shoes? Shoes?
I don't get it either. Don't most guys have about 3, maybe 4 pair of shoes? That's all they need?
I got. And they're all sneakers.
Yeah.
I got one pair of dusty dress shoes I have to polish up every once in a while, but other than that. Congratulations to Doctor Who fans. It was announced this week that Doctor Who has been renewed for yet another season. Matt Smith will continue on as the current Doctor. The season's halfway through right now, so they're scheduling another half for later this year, and they're going to make more episodes. So I don't know if you guys are watching the Doctor Who over on the BBC America.
Not watching that.
Very entertaining show.
Was there any doubt that it would be renewed? Hasn't it been on for 40 years?
Not consistently. There was a big gap there for about 10 years or so. They took off, in between Who's. So
but it seems to be very popular lately.
They've reinvigorated the series. And this Matt Smith, who's playing the most recent Doctor Who, he's the biggest, most popular one yet. So show's got a lot of life in it. But Bean's right. It did start in the early 60s back in England. So it's been on for a long, long time. Do we have a winner for my trivia question?
We do.
Natalie wants to go to the Playboy Mansion. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Hello.
Hi, Natalie.
Hi.
What was the name of the special maneuver they invented so that the Playboy bunnies wouldn't spill out of their costumes?
The bunny dip?
The bunny dip. That's correct. Yay! Congratulations. You're our trivia winner, and that means you get the pair of passes to the Playboy Jazz Festival, you get the parking, you get the iPlayboy app for your phone, and you get entered into the grand prize drawing for the party this Friday night.
I wonder who's going to win the grand prize drawing on Friday.
It's like the second. This is the second chick we've had. This is pretty cool. Congratulations. We're going to give you all the details. And thanks, of course, to NBC and the Playboy Club, the new series that's debuting on September 20th this fall. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jerry Stiller is 84 years old today. Joan Rivers is 78. Nancy Sinatra turns 71. Scott Adams, the cartoonist who invented Dilbert. Oh, if I ever see him.
You love
him. Imagine how rich that dude is, by the way.
Oh, the Dilbert calendars and the Dilbert cards and this Dilbert. That not once have I ever laughed at Dilbert. Once.
I've never understood that either.
I
don't get that.
Oh, this stapler sure is clogged. Oh, this meeting is so long. I can't wait for lunch in this office. F you!
Is it worse than Garfield?
Oh, much worse than Garfield.
Really?
Okay. Yes.
We may need to rank them.
At least Garfield is a talking cat, which in and of itself has a humorous potential to it. It's not humorous. Right. Nothing funny ever comes out of his mouth. But the idea of a talking cat is automatically sort of funny. But a guy in an office in a cubicle who has trouble with his copier, F you! All right, I feel better now. Nick Rhodes of Duran Duran is 49. Juliana Margulies is 44. Kanye West celebrates his 34th birthday today. And Maria Menounos, TV host and actress, is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I know he's on the phone, but do we need a restraining order anyway to keep Ralph away from our guest?
This greatest is little, guy
in
the world.
A little creepy, a little crazy here, if you ask me.
He is much too excited.
Joe Maddalena is back on the show, back on the Kevin and Bean program. He, of course, is the president and CEO of the Great Profiles in History, who I have to say, Ralph, am I right about this? The gold standard in memorabilia sales, right?
Yes. Joe is an icon for all of us Hollywood and showbiz collector guys because he provides the stuff that no one else can get. It's amazing what he picks up.
Thank you.
And
that's
of course,
very nice.
And, of course, on the Sci-Fi Channel Wednesday nights at 10, Hollywood Treasure is the show. Joe, welcome back. How are you, man?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you guys very much.
You bet.
The beautiful thing about your business is that you'll never run out of Hollywood and showbiz stuff that people are going to want to buy. The appetite seems to be insatiable for things that are famous.
Yeah, I think it's growing, too. You know, most people still don't know you can own these things. And when people find out, even the most cynical person that I meet, they always have one favorite. You break it down, they'll say, okay, I would buy that. I've got them. It's like everybody has a favorite something. You know?
Right.
And that's what it's just all about.
What is it you try to do on the television show? Just expose the people who may not be aware that this stuff exists out there just to kind of get more people into collecting? Is that your goal?
The television show is even better than that. The television show is really a glimpse behind the scenes of how Hollywood works. you get to come with me. Like one of the episodes this season, Frank Darabont, you know, Shawshank Redemption and The Walking Dead. Well, we go visit Frank, and Frank and I decide to raise money to help the tsunami and earthquake victims in Japan. And in this process, we turn one of my team into a zombie, and they're actually on The Walking Dead. So you get to see a lot of behind the scenes, inside houses, access you would never see before, meeting a lot of celebrities. Jay Leno's on the show this season, and just but in a real sense of who they are and what they do, why they collect, and really pulling back the curtain on Hollywood.
And the thing, Joe, that I enjoy, I mean, I can sit down with your catalog every auction and just go through it, and it's like reading a book for me. I just go page to page. I love it. But the show is great because sometimes you'll meet a collector who will offer up one item for the auction, but some other stuff that he's not willing to part with, you still get to see that stuff and see the behind the scenes, like we did with Stan Winston when we saw all of his stuff from Jurassic Park and the Terminator movies. It's a remarkable look into the stuff that makes up some of our favorite movies.
And that's what I'm trying to do with the show. The one thing that I've been really lucky with is I have being in Los Angeles, I built up kind of a who's who in Hollywood, clientele, and I was worried when the show first came out what they would think of it, and a lot of them would call me and like, why didn't you tell us you had a television show? And I'm like, I didn't know what you were thinking of it. And the reception has been fantastic. I have people every day calling, I want to be on your show. And it's just like, these are big names. And I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah, this is great, because they're fans too. They want to celebrate. It really is about learning how Hollywood works and meeting everybody in a collector sense where you're not, the celebrity's taken out of the equation. It's just a bunch of guys who collect stuff and women. I mean, that's the fun part.
I'm pretty sure that you probably built up a pretty good taste as far as looking at something, understanding what it is, and knowing what the marketplace is going to kind of be for it. Have you ever been completely shocked by something that you wrote off as just entirely meaningless, no one will want that, and all of a sudden it went crazy?
Oh, yeah. And in 2000, I had the first Star Trek auction. Matt Jeffries was the set decorator, and I had his entire archive. And he had a piece of Ozite carpeting. It was about 3 feet square that was actually from the bridge of the Enterprise.
Right.
But because it came from him, it's worth about $1, but because it came from him, it was definitely real. So I put it in for $200 to $300. It sold for $14,000.
Wow!
I about fell over. In my last auction, a guy was cleaning the trash and found all of these unpublished Stanley Kubrick 2001 photographs that had been thrown in the trash like 20 years ago at some apartment building in New York that Kubrick once lived in. And this guy just basically, he fished them out of the trash, had them all these years, brought them in, like, are they worth anything? I'm like, yeah. So again, we put them in for maybe $800 to $1,200. The one lot sold for $19,000.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it's really, and that's the part I love more than anything, because it's like those people who really need the money, it's a really rewarding experience.
Now, so often when I think of profiles in history, for some reason my mind thinks to the classic movies, the red slippers from Wizard of Oz or the sled from Citizen Kane or something like that. But even now, it seems like the cycle is so much faster now to when something becomes iconic and valuable. I mean, you sell stuff sometimes from movies of the last, 5 or 10 years that all of a sudden has this huge built-in audience of people who are dying to own the stuff.
Yeah, I have an exciting thing I can tell you right now. Within the next hour, I'll be meeting with Michael Bay at Bay Films, and we're getting all the items for Transformers 3 that comes out in July, and Michael always wants to do something ahead of the curve, so basically he's allowing us to sell off all of the main costumes and props used in Transformers 3 in conjunction with the release of the movie to satisfy the fans, and I think it's great. I think that he's like cutting edge, where he's like, hey, I want to do something for the fans. This helps promote the movie, so my next journey today is to go get stuff from Transformers 3.
All right.
And
that's pretty cool.
Joe, even in a depressed economy, it seems like the value of these items holds, if not increases, because the interest stays too,
Yeah, because, people are really nostalgic about this stuff. This isn't like a fad. I mean, I find a lot of people who collect something. Look, when you collect Batman, there's got to be a reason why,
right?
When you break it down. I love The Wizard of Oz because I remember growing up as a kid being with my parents. My dad passed away now, and be like, those are memories that you never forget. So you want to be surrounded by nostalgia because it makes you happy. And a lot of us, I'm going to be 50, and a lot of my friends are like, hey, Lost in Space, Gilligan's Island, Hogan's Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
We want the nostalgia in our life again. And I think people just don't want to sell them. The hardest thing is to get somebody to resell them. They don't ever want to sell them.
Oh, you mean once somebody else owns it? You mean they don't want to give it up?
Well, the collector, once it goes from the person who consigns it to the collector,
right,
it's very hard to ever get it back.
Yeah.
You are really just sitting around waiting for a bunch of people to die so you have another shot at the stuff they have, right? I mean, essentially, that's what we're doing here. Is we're grave robbing, aren't we, Joe?
Grave robbing. You know, in some way, it's like, and also, there's two ways to look at it. There's a lot of people just in the proximity of where we all are right now who have family members who work in the industry who don't know what they have. I have people bring in boxes all the time. My uncle was a cinematographer. What's this worth? $50,000? And they fall over. You know, they're just always so surprised at what, you know, what everything is worth. It's just, it's really amazing.
I don't know if this is a question you'd be willing to answer, Joe, but have you ever been fooled into believing something was real and it turned out to be a fake?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd be lying to you if I didn't. You know, what happens is it's two things that you learn along the way. Let's say you hired a prop shop to do a Batman movie, like a Michael Keaton movie, and you have, you know, the prop makers making the things. Well, they have the molds. A lot of these guys would make extras and take them home, and then 10 years later they put them on the market, and, you know, somebody like Warner Brothers comes in and says, you know, so you learn along the way, you know, really the source of origin is the most important thing, especially when you're buying contemporary things like the Transformers stuff. The fact that it comes directly from the production company with the COA from Paramount and Bay Films, somebody at home can say, okay, I know without question where they come from. And that's the biggest thing. But yeah, we had a woman walk in and say, hey, my grandfather was a collector for many years and has this rocket ship, and it's from Flash Gordon, the original 1936 Flash Gordon. I'm like, it's not. And she goes, I'm sure it is. And I'm like, but it looks like it. So we had it here for 6 months, and I couldn't get her to come pick it up. One day, this guy walks in who's a filmmaker, and he goes, where did you get that? And I'm like, you know what it is? He goes, of course I know what it is. I'm like, what is it? 1950 Superman versus Atom Man. It was the first Superman film, and it was Lex Luthor's rocket ship.
Wow.
She just didn't remember the story right.
Look at that.
It went from being worth 100 grand to zero to 100 grand. but it was literally, I didn't know. I mean, it just, you don't know everything, and that was
fascinating
example of what you learn along the way.
This is why the TV show is so interesting on the Sci-Fi Channel Wednesday nights at 10. It's called Hollywood Treasure. Our guest is Joe Maddalena. Hey, when you see Michael Bay later on today, ask if he's got any of the stuff that Megan Fox wore in the first two movies that he might be willing to sell.
We sold those costumes a year and a half ago when the movie came
out.
Can we buy Megan Fox's costumes?
Can we buy the chick that's replacing her, Rosie?
Stop.
Is she up for bid?
Creepy. Creepy, creepy dude.
I'm just asking if she's up for bid.
Stop it.
Joe, you're always a great guest. We always appreciate having you on the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you.
Ralph Garman joins us for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about, Ralph?
Now we know who Dr. Drew's going to cure, who he's going to completely cure of all kinds of addiction on Celebrity Rehab. Because that's what happens on that show.
I don't think it's a complete cure.
They go in screwed up. They come out perfect. That's what they promise.
And then they die 6 months later. That's what usually happens on Celebrity Rehab.
Lindsay Lohan's father, Michael Lohan, will be on hand at the Celebrity Rehab.
What a...
Look, I know that Dr. Drew doesn't have anything to do with picking the patients because as we've talked with him about it before, he says, I'm a doctor. I'll treat whoever you put in front of me. But he's like friends with Michael Lohan. So that's got to be kind of weird to have him in that capacity now.
We're going
to
have him on tomorrow. Dr. Drew's friends with Michael Lohan?
We're going to have Dr. Drew on tomorrow. We need to talk to him about this. Yeah, I know.
He Drew, loves the dude.
Drew needs better friends. First, Mike Catherwood. Now, Michael Lohan.
Equally despicable.
Does Drew also have no control over the people who are friends with him in his life? Are the producers picking those people as well? Because he's making some bad choices.
Yeah.
And Adam Carolla, don't get me started on that guy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Actress Sean Young will be on hand as well.
Crazy.
Yeah, she's certifiable. She was way hot back in the day, though. Remember, like in Stripes and No Way Out with Kevin Costner in the back of that limo, scene, remember? And Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah.
She was hot.
Yeah.
Then she wanted to be Catwoman for Tim Burton, and she dressed up like Catwoman and tried to break onto the lot at Warner Brothers.
Everybody went, all right.
That was the beginning.
Somebody's gone bye-bye.
Doc Gooden, good old Dwight Gooden from your New York baseball Mets. He was a pitcher for a long time.
It's not our Mets.
No, it's not.
All right.
Amy, the Long Island Lolita Fisher. Bai Ling.
Hey!
Jessica Sugar Kuiper from Survivor. Jeremy Jackson of Baywatch. And Guns N' Roses drummer Steven Adler. That's your lineup for the newest season of Celebrity Rehab.
I love that show.
All right. You're entitled.
Do you not love that show, Ralph?
I don't.
Is it sad?
Yeah. It's kind of tragic to me. It's a little too sad. I mean, I like if they got a good loon on there, like Busey. I enjoyed Busey's work on there.
And
you see, you thought he was part of the treatment team.
Yeah, that was pretty spectacular. And Jeff Conway, I found him endlessly entertaining.
Sure,
with his
Janice
way Dickinson over the top dramatic yep. sort of. They tied me to train tracks and raped me with an axe. And he'd go into like these long monologues that he was inventing.
Yeah, and you would think, there's just no way he's telling the truth yeah. right now.
So there were moments, but overall, I just kind of get depressed as I watch it.
But, I mean, I think it's entertaining, but I also appreciate the good work that they're doing there. And I really do believe that Dr. Drew sincerely loves those people and really is trying his best to make them healthy. And a lot of times it works. And I think that's inspiring.
But he touches them a lot while they're sleeping.
Oh, well, he might. Yeah, no, I don't know that he doesn't.
Definitely. Oh, absolutely.
We'll have to talk about that tomorrow. Oh,
there's
as well.
A lot of inappropriate touching going on.
Mark that.
Oh, absolutely. You can just tell. You just look at that guy's eyes. You can tell he's creeping. He's creeping on people.
It's the first couple episodes are depressing, but then it does get much more... You know, encouraging.
Yeah. Speaking of things we want to see more of, The Hangover 3. Kevin, you on board?
Is it coming out this weekend?
This weekend, yes. No, of course, they don't even have time to spend the money. They're making over The Hangover Part 2, and they're already talking about Part 3.
Is it Todd Phillips, and is it Zach Galifianakis?
It
and
is.
Bradley Cooper.
And
right,
it is,
yes.
And it is.
Then yes.
I'm Zach in. Galifianakis did an interview with Rolling Stone magazine talking about what looks like could be the plot for the third film.
Do we know if he was kidding?
See, here's the thing about Zach. You don't know.
Okay.
His whole life is performance art sometimes, so he could have made this up out of whole cloth. But he says...
He's so great.
He's getting phone calls regarding the plot for the third film. It would involve his character, Alan, the mentally unstable man-child, being sprung loose from a mental institution by his fellow Wolfpack buddies, Bradley Cooper, Ed Helms, and Justin Bartlett.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself... a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
He's the best.
So that could be the third. For all we know.
Or not.
Or not. For all we know. So we'll have to wait and see. Tara Reid's been skipping meals, it looks like. You've seen the photos of her this week on the internet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's making the new American Pie movie along with the original cast. They're getting back together again for American Reunion. And sources say people are concerned for her well-being because she looks like a skeleton.
I am not a fan of the too skinny
I am not either.
Supermodel.
Poor Tara. She's had a long, tumultuous road regarding her looks with bad plastic surgeries and photos that showed up and made fun of her and stuff and nip slips and that kind of stuff.
She has like a 6-month nip slip.
Yeah.
Ever. No one told her.
And Kim Kardashian is getting married, of course, to Chris Humphries, NBA player. And according to friends, she is very, very set on getting pregnant very, very, very quickly. Perhaps even before she gets married. So she's working on a baby and a wedding all at the same time.
God, she's hot. Playboy hot.
She is very hot.
I wonder if she gets bonuses with her E contract if she's able to have a baby during the run of the series.
Oh, I bet she does.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Chloe just had a nip slip, too.
Yeah, well... Put that down to the category of people I'd rather not see a nip slip.
Just saying, those Kardashians, they can't keep their nipples in their clothes.
That's a pretty small category, too.
Oh, hell's breaking loose. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jerry Stiller's 84 years old today. Would you like to lick her nipple through her clothing, Kevin? Would you enjoy doing that?
No.
No, you wouldn't?
Chloe, no, but Kim, yes.
Kim, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I would take a bite out of Kim Kardashian's sweater. Absolutely.
Oh,
isn't that sad? Isn't like
that, I would do that
doesn't
over...
that just sound, just listen to yourself, doesn't that sound like the saddest thing?
There's a lot of things that are sad about me. So what?
Look, I would do that over...
I'd rather go without...
A snowboarding jacket.
...licking her sweater, trying to be the desperate guy who's trying to get just that close to it.
I would do it over a big, big sweater with a snowboarding jacket on top of that. Covered by a rug.
Yeah. I would lick her car if she were in the car. That's what I would do.
You two are modern American tragedies.
That's true.
Jerry Stiller's 84 years old today. Comedian,
him too, by the way.
You lick his nipples?
Oh, yeah.
Joan Rivers is 78. You want to get another piece of Joan Rivers?
Oh,
what if she's no sweater, just completely naked nude.
That's the worst possible scenario.
Just rubbing her boobs all over you.
Not
just making
a bit.
Sweet, sweet love with Joan Rivers.
I would run from Joan Rivers.
Not her or Melissa, by the way. Did you see the documentary, though, Ralph? You know the famous documentary that won all the awards for about Joan Rivers?
Yes.
It turned me around on her. Oh. I still don't think she's funny. But I have immense appreciation for her commitment to her job and how hard she works for it. I mean, I was really impressed with her in that film.
They must have focused on the 50 years ago part of her career.
No, her today is the hardest working man in show business.
Not interested.
Okay.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Kanye West is 34 years old today. Juliana Margulies celebrates her 44th birthday. Nick Rhodes, keyboardist for Duran Duran, is 49. And TV host and actress Maria Menounos celebrates her 33rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Kevin Pereira from G4's Attack of the Show. We're going to talk to him about this Twitter and TwitPic and this whole deal. I don't know if you've been following this, but everybody who's been posting pictures on Twitter...
Yeah, belongs to them now. Boom.
Belongs to Twitter now.
Yeah. Your photos, ours. We can sell them. We can rent them. We can give them away, whatever we want
to do. We can sell your photos and you get nothing. So that's a bit of a shocker.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to him about that. We also have Dr. Drew. A lot of things to talk to him about. Ralph thinks
touching people.
Ralph thinks that he touches people.
Yeah, that's why he always asks. So, who touched you when you were young? You did. That's his guilty conscience. That's why he keeps asking that question.
We'll talk about the Khloe Kardashian nip slip, which I saw at the True Blast night. It's a great band. Yeah, and Johnny Knoxville on the program tomorrow as well with the DVD release of Jackass 3.5. That's tomorrow morning on an all new Kevin and Bean.